Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that's a good song to start with. Yank that out of the rotation, Engineers Michelle. Engineer Michelle is not only here because she's a fantastic engineer, but because she's a lesbian and because she's Mexican. And we will be making fun of both lesbians and Mexicans, and oftentimes lesbian Mexicans, which you don't find very often, but I'm sure they're out there. So we sort of needed her around to make it okay. Yeah. I've realized you can say whatever you want about anybody as long as you know one of them. You're fine.
That's right.
Throw the N-word around.
He's
really
all right with it.
Yeah. Hey, come on. I work with a guy named Lucius who thinks I'm cool. What's wrong with using the N-word?
Marcus is my man.
Marcus is my main man.
Does he look like he's upset?
Yeah, he's cool. I wish it worked that way with white people. I wish I could be that white guy. You know what I mean? You do whatever you want, and I'm the white guy who thinks it's okay. Yeah, do what you need. I'm white.
Right.
That's Dave Damashek over there. He'll be doing sports. Rachel Perry.
Hey, how you doing? I'm just reading the report that we got yesterday, or today in the L.A. Times.
Well, let me give the number out real quick, and then we'll get to whatever that is. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Give us a call. Give us your comments. Also, I'm going to be doing some home improvement, answering some home improvement questions. So if you want to call and ask one, we'll talk about that. Yes, Rachel.
You want to know what they said about you in the
Los Angeles Times?
The Los Angeles Times.
Yes, I don't read. I believe it poisons the mind. But other people read for me, usually the bad things, and then they forward them along. It's a great way to go through life. I announced many years ago, I don't want to read any reviews. I don't want to read any horrible. You go on the internet and start punch yourself in. You'll read 1,000 horrible things that will drive you insane. It's all horrible. Half of it will drive you nuts because it's a lie, and the other half will drive you nuts because it's true and it's bad. Either way, I don't do it, except for everyone else finds my name, finds all the horrible stuff, and then hands it to me.
Why do they have to do?
Kimmel.
I read something.
I have no idea.
I think it's to keep you
grounded. Someone said something mean about you on the internet. Why would I want to know that?
Yeah, it's this weird thing that people do. I don't trust it. I don't like it. It's like they always err on the side of insulting and bad. I can't tell you the number of times my wife, my sister. Here's a good one. My sister married a German guy. The world's only lazy German, by the way, but I digress. She marries a German guy. She has three beautiful kids. These are my nephews. I said on the air when I was doing Loveline many years ago, these kids are half German. They were born in Germany. They came out here when the kids were infants, and they've lived here ever since. I said, blaming me or wanting me to be responsible for slavery is about as insane as us holding these little kids responsible for the Holocaust. They're even closer to it than I was to slavery. My ancestors weren't in this country during slavery, and it was 150 years ago. But nonetheless, me being held responsible for slavery is akin to holding my little nephews responsible for what Hitler did in the Holocaust. Insane. Anyway, somebody got to my sister later and said that I called my nephews Nazis. That's the way it works. Not only do people deliver the message, they wipe their ass with it, and then they hand it to the person. So of course, the people never hear the show, and it makes perfect sense to them. Oh, I see. My whole brother called my nephews Nazis. Fantastic. I have some choice words for him this Thanksgiving. And that's the way it goes. Thank you. And so my wife, don't even get me started with what has been told to her over the years from doing radio. But is this bad or is this good, Rachel?
It seems that it's a thumbs up.
Oh,
well,
really?
The things I've seen, the few things I've read so far, one of the first things out of the gate is what your first line was coming on, and it was about popping our cherry.
Wow.
That seems to be what everyone's fixated on.
I would have given it some thought if I knew they cared.
Hey, you probably just shouldn't. Same with the reading thing. Don't think, don't read.
Right.
It's all for the best.
So the stuff was good.
Yeah, says that you're being closely watched and listened to, at least for now.
like that. People will drift off in a few short hours, but for now, we should enjoy. And here's the thing. I know everything reminds me of something, but when you're being most closely watched and closely listened to and observed is the time you need it the least. You know what I mean? Everyone tune out and tune back in 2 weeks when we get this ship sailing. Because it is your most difficult time. It's like when you're doing a TV show, that make or break period where you could get picked up or canceled or whatever is the time when it's most difficult. It's a sad reality of life.
That's true.
That first date when you're at your most nervous, that's when you're being judged. It's the pilot you did for the TV show when you're on pins and needles and not relaxed. That's what you're being judged upon. And let me say, I don't want to make any excuses. Because I think we did a fine radio show, considering, yesterday. But I will say this. Everyone is getting acclimated. And I liken it to driving a rental car in a race. It's hard to turn really good lap times in a car you're not familiar with because you're trying to figure out where the wipers are, where the defroster is, and where the stereo is. When you're driving your car, you know where everything is. And you can focus 100% on driving. As it is, we don't exactly know the lay of the land. I'm looking up at the clock. I got to read the phone number. Steve Damashek?
Dave.
There you go. Okay, there's an example right
there.
Now
we have that ironed out.
I didn't read it.
Now that won't be an issue, right?
That's right. It'll be Dave Damashek.
Can I be, by the way, in your car analogy, I'd like to be the lighter.
Yeah, okay.
Heating up.
They got rid of the lighter and they replaced it with the computer jack, but yes, you could be the old school lighter.
All right, cool.
Yeah, so right now what we're all doing is we're all trying to figure out where the wipers are. And by the way, why not just put them in the same goddamn place in every car? Would it be that big a tragedy? Do they have to be in as many different places as there is cars? So I can flash the high beams at somebody in the rented Taurus and they can give me the bird when I'm trying to turn the wipers on. But you know what else I miss? Remember when the high beams used to be a little foot pedal? Remember in your dad's car?
No.
Old American cars. Old American cars used to have a little foot. Little thing you'd hit with your left foot when you were driving. That was the high beams. Old Buicks and Cadillacs. No hand stuff. Just foot. Tick, tick. Point is we're trying to figure out where the wipers are, where the lights are, where the defroster is, and that only frees up a percentage of our brain to be entertaining. Once I figure out where the wipers are, look out.
Oh, my God. That's exactly how what I was complaining about yesterday. I was like, I can't be funny right now. I'm operating on this high level of stress.
Yeah.
And it's just nothing I say is funny.
All right, baby. Don't freak.
Shut up.
Wow.
No. And you know what? And I have a new car. So
oh,
I'm
do?
Trying to figure out my new car.
What'd you get?
I got a Envoy Denali.
Oh, nice.
It is nice.
It's one of you, Black. An Envoy Denali. That's a nice ride.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a fine
GMC vehicle.
Yeah. You're going to get some big rims for it? It's an SUV.
Oh, since you're now here in L.A., of course you need an SUV.
Haven't you seen it parked across the street from your house?
Oh, that's true. Rachel and I, as it turns out, in this vast Southern California area, happen to live directly across the street from one another.
Wow.
In a gay area.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, listen, any area that Dave inhabits becomes a gay area. That's the way it works. It's like, he's like a shark. There's a shark in the water wherever that shark is.
But not because I myself am gay, but the gays are aesthetes.
Well, not funny, funny queer.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys in the West Hollywood area?
West Hollywood, yes.
You know, something I've noticed, and you guys should notice, too, if you're residing in the West Hollywood area, and then we'll get back to the Envoy Denali. And by the way, you can just say Denali. I think that's what we go with.
Well, it's an Envoy, and the Denali is like the upgrade.
Right. But you just say Denali, it's like saying El Dorado. You don't have to say Cadillac.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
Point is this. Here's what you should pay close attention to if you're in the West Hollywood area. Look for the West Hollywood Sheriff's cars. The West Hollywood Sheriff's cars have a jumbled gay flag on the door.
That's right.
And I am endlessly amused by this. Yes. Now, I noticed this about 7 or 8 years ago, and I became fixated on it. Everyone knows the Super Jolly Roger, the gay flag. It's sort of, it's the rainbow flag, but it's just jumbled up a little bit.
Super Jolly Roger.
Well, that's what I've always called it. I don't think it has an official name for the gay flag other than the gay flag. But just like they have the, you know, Stars and Stripes or the Union Jack or the Jolly Roger, I just dubbed it the Super Jolly Roger. But point is it has a, you know, it has the rainbow colors on it. And if you look at the side of the West L.A. Sheriff's Department cars, and that it's not the LAPD. They don't work that beat. It's the West L.A. Sheriff. You will see those colors in a mosaic.
Hmm.
Not in a flag shape, just in a mosaic. I'm telling you, somebody look, find it on the internet, you will laugh your ass off. Now, I can tell you what had to have happened. Somebody 10 years ago said, one of the gay townspeople said, hey, this is our area, this is our constituency, we want our colors on your car, we want the gay flag on the car. And of course the cop said, are you high? We're not putting the gay flag on the cruiser, are you kidding me? So they came up with a compromise. We will put the jumbled gay flag on the side of the cruiser. And I was complaining about this, A, because it's humiliating to the 99% straight guys who are in the West Hollywood Sheriff's Department. But the other thing, I was beefing about it with my wife. I said, well, what do they need their goddamn flag on the side of the car for? And she said, well, this is their area. This is the people that inhabit this area. This is their flag. This is their constituency, so to speak. Why shouldn't they have their colors on the side of the car? I said, look, Glendale is 99% Armenian. Do you think they get the Armenian flag on the side of the car? Shut her right up.
Mm.
I love shutting someone up. There's no better feeling than just shutting somebody up. No, there's no Armenian flag on the Glendale car. Of course not. That's insane. That would be insane. But yet, jumbled gay flag on the side of the West Hollywood Sheriff's
car. Pretty soon they're going to want to separate, like Quebec and Canada.
They'll secede, yeah.
They'll have, like, language and clothing rights and all sorts of, like, rules and signs.
Believe me, when they do, I will move. I will move to that area, not move out, move in. Because if you take a look, anyone who lives in this area, just drive down Santa Monica Boulevard. Start over around Western. Start by the Home Depot over at Western. Just look down and drive and tell me when you see it start to change. Tell me when you see the manicured patch of sod in the middle and the palm trees and the beautifully scrubbed benches and the architecture. You'll see it change as it gets gayer.
Yes, it's wonderfully clean.
Oh, it's awesome. The new house developments, like, they're always building stuff.
Yeah. It's like a living room. There is that cliche, oh, the gays, they love to decorate. Yes, they do. They do the house. They do their lawn. They do the street. They do the town hall. They never stop. It's beautiful.
I get a lot of the when I go out into the street, a lot of the leering eyes, as one would expect, that someone with my looks would.
Attractive man,
But then my lady friend comes out behind me, you know, and they see her, and then the stink eye.
Oh, really?
What's your kind doing?
Yeah, breeder.
Right.
Yeah.
Go home, local, or right. Val, or whatever it is.
Hey, oh, man, I need to step in here, but
yes.
Back to what people were saying about us. Billboard magazine actually said we were entertaining and cohesive on day one.
Jimmy Brusca. Not to be confused with Jimmy. Oh, and let me say this. Sorry. I'm all over the road today, but it's good. Jim Brusca is our producer. We have a Jimmy Kimmel who's very close with Jimmy Brusca, and I've realized that we have to call Jimmy Brusca Jim Brusca now because Jimmy Kimmel is, I don't want to say miles above him in the pecking order, but
many
miles above him in the pecking order, and that's the way it works. It's like if you're number 80 and you're on the taxi squad in football and Jerry Rice gets traded to your team, you got to give up the jersey.
Right.
So even though Jimmy Brusca may have been Jimmy Brusca longer than Jimmy Kimmel, Jerry Rice has come to the team and he's going to have to go with James
with,
or Jim.
I'm going to avoid the problem right out of the gate, and I encourage Brusca. You to do so. Brusca.
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 Yeah, sounds like
I
a nice
do
cut
Brusca.
Of meat.
Nice
yeah.
Italian
voice. I don't even know your first name.
Producer Brusca, what's happening?
And one other thing is, I guess Lynch, our friend Lynch, had a interesting day yesterday.
I did.
Trying to call his mother and trying to tape that phone conversation.
Yes,
to make a
about
long
this.
Story short, that wound up on another radio program. That phone call, because basically Lynch went into one of the studios, started messing around, pressing the wrong buttons.
I didn't press the wrong. Someone else pressed the wrong.
Okay, and that conversation with his mother basically went on the Tom Likas show.
Mm. Who's that?
He's a guy here in L.A. who does...
I'll give you a clue.
Blah! Yeah. It's not really... That's
living
not
in one way and bed or another, and I'm glad I'm on the side of men.
Yeah, he's on the side of men. He's like an angry guy who hates women, and that's his shtick. But anyway, right. So Lynch and his mother are on his show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And, the recording of them having the conversation.
On purpose or by accident?
No. We hit the wrong button, or I'm going to blame Lynch.
Okay.
He hit the wrong button.
It's my fault.
And it went on the show, and apparently Likas wasn't too pleased with that. And afterwards, I guess during a commercial break, was like, who is that guy talking to his mommy on my show? So I'm hoping we can play that clip later on, but if not, it was pretty interesting.
Here's the thing. Tom Likas, who's on the mother station, the flagship station, 97.1 Free FM out here, is out of Westwood One. He's not in this building. I used to work at Westwood One with him out in Culver City. That's why but it runs through this studio, I'm sure, or through this location. So he's out at a satellite. It comes into here, and that's where you guys were able to get your filthy paws on the potentiometers and screw up his life.
Basically.
All right, so hopefully we'll hear that. Also, Zach Galifianakis is going to be in here. Zach, you should have heard of him by now. I really feel like there should be numbers assigned to comedians so you know what you're getting. Like when you're buying something off eBay and they have the report on the guy, tells you the number, lets you know if he's fraudulent or not. Because I realize there's some guys that are extraordinarily funny and other guys that aren't that funny and you have no idea. You who are listening, you don't know that Zach Galifianakis is hysterical and Charlie Murphy, Eddie Murphy's brother, is not funny at all. You may have heard of both of them. You may have heard of neither of them. You may think they're exactly the same. It goes that way with many, many comedians. It's not like sports. There's no quarterback rating for comedians. If there was, Galifianakis would be a 135.
Yes, that's interesting. You know, in some parts of our life, we have ratings to go by. Movies, for instance. You know, four or five star. I personally operate on the 5-star system. I think that gives me the flexibility I need. Either way, you have this star system, and maybe for comedians this would be a good idea, because if you don't have it, now that in the current system that we have, now people are left to have their own opinion on it, and that leads to trouble.
And there's so many names out there. Greg Giraldo, Zach Galifianakis. You know these names. You've heard of these guys. You don't know if this guy's funny, if that guy's funny. You have no idea. The point is, Zach Galifianakis, funny, legitimately funny. Five stars. He's going to be in here in, I think, the next break, 7 o'clock hour. I will take some home improvement calls if you have any, 866-901-ADAM, because, as you know, that's my forte. Raven?
Yeah.
You're a stripper?
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to try to take some home improvement calls, but stripper always tops the list. What's up, baby doll?
Oh, I was going to say, you want to ask me anything, go ahead. I don't care. I'm really bored, and I just wanted someone to talk to.
You're a stripper calling from Vegas?
Yeah.
You called into the show and went to know if I wanted to ask you anything?
Sure, just to talk, if that's cool.
Yeah, okay. It's one of those things hot chicks do. Fat chick would never call on a radio show and go, what do you need? You want me to answer anything? That's this is the work of a hot chick. Yeah.
I suppose.
Right. Right. Yeah. So do I have any questions for you about stripping, or what would be the topic?
Whatever you want to ask me, go ahead. I love being asked questions.
How much money did you make tonight?
Sadly, since tonight is we go by the night before. Like, say if it's actually 12 o'clock and it hits Wednesday, we still count it as Tuesday night.
Yeah,
so
they go by Greenwich Skank Time.
Yeah. On a Monday or a Tuesday, I only average a couple hundred, like $200 to $300.
$200 to $300.
Yeah, on a Friday or a Saturday, I make about 700.
Wow.
700.
Nice. For a fella, though, that's the night to go there. You get extra special attention, yes?
Yeah.
On a Monday night?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And you don't get all the DNA from the guys that came, pardon the pun, before you.
Right. Absolutely not.
Hey, Raven.
Yes.
Can you knock off work whenever you want as a stripper?
Unfortunately, if you're on schedule, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
But, see, they call it an independent contractor.
Boring. Let me say this. Here's my tip of the week for the guys. If you go, because I dated a stripper once many, many years ago. And
no.
I found...
What was her name? Stripper name?
Her real name was Lindsay, but her stripper name was Catlin. And I loved her so much.
Choice.
I loved her so much. I used to say to the guys, come on, let's go for a CAT scan. I used to call it when I'd go there. It was just a topless place, but it was good enough for me. Well, you know, I was 23. Seemed clever at the time.
Well done.
Point is, here's the way you know strippers into you. You say to her, you're getting a lap dance, and you say, what time do you get off work? And she says, I can leave whenever I want. You're in. Now you're in. Now, if you say, what time do you get off work? And she says, 42 hours from now, you're out. Or she says, my boyfriend picks me up in his Yukon Denali at 3 a.m. You're out. It's all out. But if you say to a stripper, what time do you get out of here? What time do you get off work tonight? And she goes, I can split whenever I want. Now it's time to split. Time to go. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. Home improvement questions. Zach Galifianakis, Tad, and Big Tad and Engineer Lynch are going to sing their songs today. Oh, it's all on after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM. I'm hungry.
Yeah, me too. I like that song. Well, you heard the phone number, 866-901-ADAM. I'm answering some home improvement questions this segment. So far, we only have one, so hop on those phones and light up the lines. Rachel Perry's here. She does some news. Dave Damashek is here. He talks about himself mainly, but once in a while, sneaks in a sports score. We got producer Brusca. Mike Lynch on the sound effects and whatnot. Mike's got a call with his mom coming up. We also have Dave and his mom coming up. Zach Galifianakis, funny comedian coming up. Also, it's song day. Now, yesterday, Jimmy Kimmel had a funny idea, which is everyone should just sort of sing their introduction. Pick a song, work in some appropriate pieces of information like where you're from and what you do and all that stuff. It's a get to know you song and jam, if you will, like the high school cheerleaders used to do. A little introduce yourself jam. Dave did his, not a dry eye in the house after Dave was done yesterday. Rachel did a great job on hers, and I think Lynch and Big Tad. And Big Tad, for those of you who, just close your eyes. I was going to say you can picture Big Tad by closing your eyes, and I was going to tell you what to picture, but just close your eyes. That's good enough. That's Big Tad. He's going to be in here singing his song, so we have all that coming up. Let's start by talking to John. John?
Hey, Adam. How are you?
What's happening?
Hey, I just poured a slab for a shed that I'm building.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, would the slab actually be sufficient enough for a floor, or do you think I should throw a little subfloor down there, some plywood, or...
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? You going to store tools out there, or just dismember hookers?
Tools. Well, and I'm going to store tools, and you brought up an interesting point. Do you use pegboard? Do you have pegboard? Is that how you do your tools?
It's not a bad look. You know, it's not a bad look. Use that pegboard, that Masonite pegboard, and spray paint it. Give it a custom color instead of that crap brown.
Yeah.
How far above the grade are you? You up a little bit with your slab?
Yeah, it's a 4-inch slab.
All right, so you're about that much above your back lawn?
Yeah.
You got a little footing poured?
No, well, actually it's
no footing. No footing. Hey, buddy, we're in earthquake country.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, here's what you do. Listen, use all treated lumber on that thing. At least the bottom plate should be treated, that pressure-treated lumber.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Go and use a pegboard. And, no, just make the slab the slab. I mean, just make it the floor. You don't have to do a subfloor on it.
I'm going
to
put a little bench out there, you know,
all right.
Mostly storage.
If you are going to do a subfloor, use treated 2x4 stringers and just shoot them and glue them down to the slab, and then you can skin that with some 3/4 CDX ply.
There you go.
All right, good times.
Definitely go with the CDX ply, though.
You saying that, Dave?
I agree with that, yeah.
CDX?
Yes.
Good one side or both sides?
Well, I think it's best to go both sides. If you're going to do it right.
Right.
Do it all the way.
Okay. Ken?
Hey, good morning.
From Phoenix, what's up, my brother?
Dude, I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
All right, man. I've been listening 2 days in a row, and I'll probably listen for 3 at least.
Thank you.
All right. So here's the deal. We just built a new house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just regular sinks, we had to go with the vessel bowls with that big-ass or fountain, you know, or faucet that comes up about 2 feet tall.
Sure.
But they drip like
you crazy. And your life partner wanted to really dress up the place. I understand.
Oh, well, yeah. Not as scandalous as you think, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, dripping. I'm speaking of life partner, it's just dripping constantly.
Yeah, your life partner's dripping or the sink's dripping?
Sink.
So you got to get a new washer.
All right.
All right. That's enough. Sink's dripping. Someone's calling about the gay flag of West Hollywood, which has intrigued me. I mean, I'm like a retarded adolescent. I'm talking to somebody about something, but I see something shiny, and it catches my eye, and I'm like a trout. I see gay flag up here. I have to punch it up. Scott?
Yes?
You heard us talking earlier about the West Hollywood Gay Sheriff's Department?
Yeah, I did. That is not a flag. That's the geographical boundaries of the city of
right.
West Hollywood.
It's the gay flag chopped up into that shape.
Yeah, it's still laid out in the rainbow colors. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
If you get out the Thomas Guide and look at the map of West Hollywood, you'll see it's the exact same shape.
I tried, but the pages were stuck together. Hi-hat me. Thank you. See, when you go through the gay section of the Thomas guys, all stuck together. Would be funny if it was. Yeah. Well, so, Scott, you've really, I know, God bless you for trying to crap on my point, but you've not been able to accomplish that. It's still the gay flag. It's still the jumble. It's just the jumble is in the shape. And also, here's the thing, too. People do that. Oh, it's in the shape of this. It's in the shape of that. What is the shape of West Hollywood?
I defy that caller to...
Yeah, I'd like you to draw. I'll get a blank piece of paper. You draw me out. And by the way, you can draw out Burbank and Glendale and Santa Monica. I've lived here my entire life. I have no idea what the shape is. You don't know what the shape is because when you're leaving town, there's no line you cross. Ah, write this down. There should be defined lines. It should be like a puzzle.
Oh, yeah.
Who the hell knows where North Hollywood ends and Studio City begins? Who knows where West L.A. ends and just Los Angeles begins or Santa Monica begins? But if there was a thick blue stripe that just ran down the street, and not only that, ran down the street, up the sidewalk, across the lawn, up the house, across the roof, across the dog, across the beautiful woman sunbathing.
On the football field, right, on the football field, the first down marker, or like what Tony Danza and Judith Light laid down in Who's the Boss.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when they taped off, they stayed in a cheap motel, and they were still fighting their affection for one another.
Put the stripe right down the middle.
Right.
Yeah. They should do it. Every city should have their boundaries clearly marked with a 3-foot-thick stripe, and then you would know technically when you're leaving West L.A. and entering wherever there were straight people. All right. Let's talk to replacing molding. Steve? Did I punch you up? Steve, Los Angeles. All right. Not speaking. Talk to Scott. All right. Are we having trouble with these phones again? It's a possibility. John?
Hey, Adam.
What's happening?
Hey, I was wondering, here's my problem. My problem is I'm listening to the only show worse than the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Oh, and he called him Kimmel, too. which in a way is an insult, but another way gets him off the hook on a technicality. Because it's the Jimmy Kimmel Show. It's not the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Right.
We got our first Baba Booey of the new year, by the way.
What?
I can't believe it took this long. Steve.
Yes, how you doing, Adam?
What's up?
Hey, man, my wife wants me to replace the moldings around our door frames and also the doors. We got a little bit of a fixer-upper.
Mm-hmm. Around the door frame is, that's called casing, by the way.
Casing, yeah.
And the door frame is called a jamb.
Oh, there you go.
You start throwing those terms around, you get laid.
All right. Well, I'm already getting laid, so it doesn't really help me.
Oh. Well, by people you're attracted to.
Okay.
So.
Anyways, am I better off just doing the casings, or should I maybe rip out everything and do a whole new...
Don't do the jam. You'll never get the jam out. You can't handle the jam, my friend. The jam will break you, physically and spiritually.
I've got some pretty big tools.
Here's the deal. You want to pop that casing off from around the door jamb. First thing you need to do is take a razor and drag it along the seam where it meets, because when you pop it off, it'll take the paint, it'll take wood, it'll take everything. You must score it with a razor on both sides of the trim, on both sides that's going around the jamb, and then you can pop it off with a flat bar. All right. That is riveting stuff. Rachel.
I'm fascinated right now.
Are your panties intact?
It's like soup right now. You have no idea.
Yes, please. Wow. Get yourself a wet, dry vac and clean yourself up. We have to take a break, and we have much more show in store. Zach Galifianakis is going to be in here. Phone number, 866-901-ADAM. We'll be back after this.
Listen to Likas, weekday afternoons on 97.1 Free FM.
866-901-ADAM. That's the phone number. I am he. Dave Damashek is here. His sports is coming up relatively soon. Also, Rachel Perry. She's got some news. Dave and I just met in the bathroom moments ago. And Dave shared something with me that I'd already known.
Information. Information.
Yes.
Not something else.
And a disease.
Yeah. You know, listen, I don't like to share intimate details like this. It's not my way normally. But listen, my stomach, this waking up early business and everything and drinking all the Joe's wreaking havoc.
Yeah.
Coffee, I can't do it.
It's wreaking havoc with my stomach, with my belly is a mess. So
everyone has to get their bowels online.
Right. So yeah. It's
too much, too little? What's your problem?
No, too much, too. Like, listen, just you know, a mess. It's just a mess. So yeah. I made a mad dash for the bathroom, and of course there are two stalls.
Right.
There was a regular one, and there was a handicap stall. Mm-hmm. So of course I went for the handicapped, as anyone does, and as everyone does, nice and more spacious, and covered. I mean, just absolute seat down, covered in urine.
Yeah, toilet
seat. I mean,
now you know how we feel.
It was a deed. It was an intentional deed.
Yeah.
To spoil anyone else's experience. It couldn't have been an accident.
Yes, and I am not a spiritual man, but even I believe or am scared of karma enough not to urinate all over a handicapped toilet seat. You're asking for a debilitating car crash at some point, are you not?
True. Yes. Yeah.
C5 vertebrae severed.
Right.
Confined to a wheelchair. Ironically.
Years from now, we'll see how you like it. Right.
Right. It would be nice if the one thing I do like about I try to use the handicap stall as much as possible as well. I like it because I like the seat riser. I like it has the little wedgies on the bottom of the seat that lift you up to. And I'm a tall man, so it's a nice, not such a fall.
Right. It's sort of the difference in. Isn't it nice to be on a bar stool rather than, you know, making the extra effort to go all the way, all the way
it's
back up.
It's crapping into a bar stool.
You know,
yes.
That's interesting you bring that up, because I used the toilet at your house.
At my home.
Yeah, at your home. Mm-hmm. You didn't know. You weren't there.
I checked the tape.
Oh.
Maybe I've said too much, but one thing I learned from Chuck Berry is to go ahead and install a video camera in the head so you can see what your guests have been doing.
And I noticed that it was higher than usual. It was the one in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Are all the toilets in your house unusually high off the ground?
Yes. I'm like, my ass is like Shaq. I've had all my things modified. Yeah,
interesting. Why don't they just go ahead and do that? I wouldn't know. The standard size should be higher up there. It's more comfortable, maybe.
Well, here's the thing. This entire country is sort of based on the lowest common denominator, pardon the pun. If there's one guy, if 5% of the populace is under 5'5", then that's where we'll put the toilets, let everyone else suffer. But back to urinating on the toilet seat. This speaks to a bigger problem in my mind. This is the people that don't put the lids back on the mayonnaise container and throw it back into the fridge. These are the guys who don't signal anymore. It's every man for themselves at this point. It's a huge societal FU. And urinating on the seat, I don't even know how you do it. Well, you don't lift the seat is how you do
That's
it, I guess. You're scared
part.
To touch the seat, although you use your foot like any refined human being would
do.
And I still don't know why the toilet seat does not have a little handle or a little knob, why you have to reach. If you want people to lift the seat, don't ask them to reach their hand underneath the seat into that dark nether region between the bowl and the seat. You can never do it.
I won't.
It's like playing Operation. You can never do it without making contact with the bowl or the seat and lift it up. But lift the seat and pee like a human being,
Adam,
not an animal.
You've just created a whole new product for SkyMall.
The seat handle?
The seat
tongs?
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
That's the perfect
and
thing
then,
to find in there.
And yes. then, so now I'm upset. Obviously, now I'm in the regular stall, uncomfortable, you
mm-hmm.
know, and they're perpetually. This is a radio station, so they're perpetually playing radio ads. You know, you can hear them in the bathroom, and they have one on promoting the show 24. You know, mm-hmm. with Kiefer Sutherland, and the ad goes like this. You know, they play a soundbite from I guess the season premiere is coming up, and someone says to Kiefer Sutherland's character, like, "Who are you?" And Kiefer Sutherland's response is, "Someone who's not supposed to be alive."
Wow.
Who answers questions like that? You know, it's like in Return of the Jedi. You know, Han Solo's blind, and Princess Leia comes to save him, and he says, "Who are you?" And she says, "Someone who loves you." Who answers questions? It's me. It's Leia.
Hold on, I owe Brusca $50. I bet it would be 37 minutes before the first Star Wars reference came up in the show.
Who are you? I'm Kiefer Sutherland.
He said 53. Yeah. This coming from a man who's seen the premiere of every Star Wars movie with his sister.
So?
Okay.
That sounds like it was an attack, but I don't see where.
You don't take it
exactly.
as one. You never have. That's the problem. All right. We are going to take ourselves a break. We will come back. Rachel Perry is going to have the news teed up for us. Dave Damaschek. Sports, all that. Zach Galifianakis coming up. Songs, theme songs. Oh, so much after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 1-866-901-ADAM. That's 1-866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show. You better call. This is MG. We got to go. Call the Adam Carolla Show now.
Yeah, we do got to go. Well, there is the phone number. And Zach Galifianakis, by the way, just walked in. He's sitting in our lovely adorned green room right now. We'll bring him in after we do a little news. And a little sports. First news, Rachel Perry.
Well, of course, the big news today, the West Virginia coal miners late last night looked like great news.
Yeah.
Family members told that all but one of the 13 miners alive. Just hours later, they came back and announced only one was alive. 12 are dead. Here's the president of the mining company, Ben Hatfield, explaining the terrible mistake.
It appears that this miscommunication from the rescue team underground to the command center was picked up by various people that simply overheard the conversation, was relayed through cell phone communications without our ever having made a release. International Coal Group never made any release.
The one miner found alive is in critical condition, but they believe that because he was one of the youngest people down there, that may have added to the fact that...
I wonder what goes on. I mean, what kind of conditions? Obviously hellish, but what kind of conditions exist where there's 13 healthy men, 12 of them perish, and one makes it? What? You know what I mean?
Not going to make it.
Well, the fact.
Oh,
thank you, Dave.
I'm sorry.
Thank you for that.
Oh, I thought you were. No,
what I'm saying is, usually if something is going to kill, if there were 13 of us in this room and something killed 12 of us, it would kill all of us. Why, you know, why is there one guy, even if he's clinging to life, why is there one guy still alive?
Because he is going to perform a miracle at some later point in his life.
That would be nice.
It was divine. In Iraq this morning, about 60 miles northeast of Baghdad, a suicide bomber killed at least 30 people and wounded about 36 during a Shiite Muslim funeral. The death toll, if confirmed, would be the bloodiest attack since the elections December 15th.
There's trouble in the Middle East, but those kids should have it straightened out any day now.
Any day.
I'm saying by the weekend, trouble in the Middle East straightened out. You know, it's funny. When you watch old episodes of Saturday Night Live and you see Chevy Chase sitting at the news desk circa 1978, and the lead story, trouble in the Middle East. Wow.
Things never change.
Can't be the people. That's what I've learned. Hey. It has nothing to do with the people. It's the region. It's the actual dirt that is cursed. Yes.
Canada's first human milk bank in Vancouver is looking for milk donations.
Canada. It's all you want to talk about.
I know. Did you know that last year 100 women donated the equivalent of 22,000 cartons of breast milk?
How do you do that? Why do you do that?
Because there's babies out there that need milk that can't get it.
Let them eat cake, I say.
When you're feeding the baby with the one breast,
right,
you use a pump,
right,
to get the milk,
yeah,
from the other breast, and then you send it to Vancouver, and it's tested, strained, pasteurized, frozen, and shipped out to infants across Canada.
Don't they have formula? Don't you crazy Canucks have formula over there?
I think so. I think babies need, they actually prescribe it to babies.
Yeah.
Ill, maybe premature, I don't know.
And weirdos in their 40s.
Bobby!
Hold on, anyone ever seen that Milkin' and Poppin' magazine?
No.
I mean, me neither. Keep going. Disgusting, though.
New Year's resolutions. I know it's a few days past New Year's, but these are some montages of New Year's resolutions that are actually kind of interesting.
Save more money. Give to charity. You'll work on time.
My New Year's resolution is to practice more piano because I'm going to come back here for Carnegie costume.
My New Year's resolution is to make more, do the best I can, spread a lot of love, and keep the thing real.
Keep it real.
Keep the thing real.
You keeping your thing real
keep
is no resolution. Yes.
Wait, there's more. There's more.
You not reeking to high heaven. I've not seen this gentleman, but you not reeking to high heaven would be at the top of that guy's list,
keep
I could
the
imagine.
Keep the thing real.
I'd like to pass all my classes at school. My resolution is to work for the betterment of the United States of America.
To lose weight?
Diet for once.
That she's so serious. I want to work for the betterment of the United States of America.
Yeah. United States will do, by the way. There's no way United States of Canada or Russia. When someone says the United States, it's like the people that say, we're engaged to be married. Yep, engaged. Enough. I got it. Got it.
That's how I feel right now. That's such a generic thing to you know, oh, I want peace in the world and happiness. I want to work for the betterment of the... What is she going to do? What are you going to do?
She'll do nothing.
I want to know.
She'll stand on the same corner and wait for the crew to come by a year from now.
Right now I have something called news for dogs.
Really?
And to translate that, actually, in the Chicago suburbs, there are canine freestyle classes. It's people taking dancing classes with their dogs.
Yeah.
There's actually a World Canine Freestyle Organization, and they have dance-offs.
Yeah.
Apparently, a highlight is when the dog and owner put on sailor suits and perform in the Navy.
Couldn't you just have some dignity and have sex with the dog? Just give yourself that dignity at least that much. The whole pet thing is getting out of control. My wife watches The Pet Whisperer, who's the gay guy from Argentina who talks to the dog. He's just like, I'm getting $500 for this BS. Can you believe it? Nod your head. And my wife sits there and wants to get the guy over to the house so he can whisper to my dog, Molly. Same thing.
Yeah. Well, and, I also am intrigued by the guy who you see walking around everywhere. In my neighborhood, everyone has a dog, and they're all walking around, and they vigilantly make sure that you pick up your dog's poop. And it's the most pathetic sight is when you see a grown man walking around with that bag on his hand, the grocery bag on his hand, waiting
for his dog to make a duty.
Right.
Putting his hand underneath his dog's ass. You know, I just came up with a great idea. There's no way once the dog makes its mess, there's no way to identify it unless they actually catch the dog in the act, and then someone just has the fecal matter on the lawn, and they don't know who to blame it on. There's many people walking their dogs. When I'm in charge, I will enact this law. Each dog will be fitted with their own extruder shape in their rear end. So that the BM...
Like
Play-Doh. You see a star-shaped BM, you know it was Molly.
I see.
You know what I'm saying?
I like that.
It could be a circle. It could be a circle with a hole in it. Many different shapes. Oblong, whatever. Maybe a famous ship of war. I mean, that's getting complicated. I don't know if you could make the Bismarck out from the Merrimack. But the point is you would have your own shape. That way you just come to your front lawn, you see the star. It's like you go banging on the owner's door. Hey, look, Molly. Look at that. Yeah.
Terrific, yeah.
Awesome, right?
Ladder, yeah, initials, you know.
And a good Terrific. Time. I wouldn't mind picking that up. Oh, looks it shape. Oh, it's a stovepipe hat. Look at that. It's going to be a delight to pick this one up.
One more, and then I believe it will be time for the news. But Rhode Island has become the 11th state to legalize medical marijuana, everybody.
Hell yeah.
Medical marijuana. Medical marijuana.
Awesome.
And that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Now, the big story. All eyes on Pasadena. The Rose Bowl.
I'll be there.
USC, Texas, for all the marbles. But first, I have to get to this. The bloodbath in the NFL continues for the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
The teams that didn't make the playoffs, all their coaches are having their heads lopped off. Yesterday, Raiders fired Norv Turner, the sixth coach to go down. And like a virus, it's spreading to other sports now. The Sonics fired Bob Weiss only 16 games into the season.
Make a great burger, those people.
And so the bloodbath continues. College hoops yesterday, big upset. Marquette beat number two UConn.
My wife was devastated.
I think we all were.
Huge UConn.
And last night at the Orange Bowl, a little hors d'oeuvre for tonight's big game, the Geriatric Bowl. Really, it was Joe Paterno versus Bobby Bowden, combined age roughly 378.
Right.
And Penn State pulled it out 26-23 in three overtimes. And by the way, the Orange Bowl has a sponsor, but I'm not going to say what that sponsor is. And I'm not going to apologize for that because
right.
I'm not going to dance. If you're waiting for an apology, stop.
Yes.
Save your time.
Or continue waiting.
Either way.
Yeah.
Now. To move on.
Let me say this. The Orange Bowl had Penn State and Florida State in it. Penn State, who for the first 25 years of my life I called the Nifty Lions.
Is that right?
Yes. Nittany means nothing to a man from North Hollywood. The Nittany Lions. I guess it's a mountain range somewhere in
Correct.
Pennsylvania.
Correct.
But to me, I'm like I have a retarded spell check. If there's a word I haven't heard, it's like the first time I heard the name Amphrony, I just changed it to Anthony. Because that's
you
how my spell check works.
Mistake,
I'll
right.
get the. I'll get. I'll just assume I heard it wrong. I'll pick the closest recognizable word, sound, or name. To me, when I hear Nittany, the closest I can get is Nifty. And by the way, Nifty Lions, not a bad name.
Maybe even an improvement.
I would say.
And of course, as I already mentioned, the big game tonight: USC, Texas, number one on the line, maybe the biggest college football game in two, three decades, and. I want to play something for you. Here's Matt Leiner talking about, it's sort of the edge that the team has collectively. Here he is talking about the big play at the end of the Notre Dame game that they barely pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what was going on in the huddle. Take a listen.
We just have fun on the football field. We're in the huddle joking around. We're in the huddle, you know, Notre Dame, 4th and 9, and we're just, you know, we're probably as relaxed as you can be, you know, and it's tense, it's a tense moment, but we're just like, you know what, let's just go out and play. If we don't get it, we don't get it. If we do, we do.
Yeah.
Now, this is my gripe. I mean, the number one reason I'm not a big-time athlete, the biggest is my athletic ability itself. You know,
sure,
the lack of foot speed,
yeah.
Right, the power, so
yes.
On and so forth.
Yes.
But somewhere on the list, at least, is that I care way more than they do. You know, if I was a USC fan, you know, I'm sweating it out. I'm biting my fingernails. They're relaxed and having a good time. I resent that I care more than these guys do.
Yeah, as a fan, you do, and know more about the game. If I was on USC, I would not want to be referred to as one of the men of Troy. That just sounds like a gay bar that's off campus.
yeah, they
comes out with a calendar every year.
Yeah.
Who are you? I'm April.
Yeah. Men of Troy.
I go by Toby in the calendar, but my real name's Adam.
The logo on the Men of Troy's helmet is the West Hollywood rainbow.
Yeah. They always say this, too. They always talk about kidding around in the huddle. Oh, Joe Montana, that winning drive of the Super Bowl, loosey-goosey in the huddle, kidding around, having a good time. They always say that. I don't buy it.
I
bet they're uptight as all
get
out.
If it is true, I don't care for it.
Yeah. That's right. Let's pick up the intensity, fellas.
That's
an important game.
Yes.
So who do you got tonight? Who are you taking?
Well, I think USC wins outright, but the line is 7.5, and I'm not going to say it right now. I'm going to tease it. This is what they do in the business. Yes, you tease things.
Yeah.
For
later, are you going to tell
us
tomorrow?
Yeah, it's only tease if people care. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see.
If you're a fat, unattractive woman, you can't say, I may take my robe off. Everyone will say, no, please don't.
See, same deal here?
Same deal with you and your football picks. Yes, Dave.
Bag.
Dave Damashek, everybody. Oh, yeah? I thought we had some outro music. There you know. 866-901-ADAM. That is the phone number, 866-901-ADAM. We'll take your phone calls. Zach Galifianakis is here, the great Zach Galifianakis. And I don't know, we'll find out when he comes in, but I'm not sure how many people, and I'm not just kissing Greek ass when I say this guy is hysterical. He actually is. He did my TV show, and I've done many things with Zach, and they've all turned out funny, so let's not jinx this one. 1-866-901-ADAM. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now at 866-901-ADAM. Let's do this.
Yeah, you can hear this very song blaring from the West L.A. Sheriff's cars as they make their rounds. Phone number, 866-901-ADAM. Zach Galifianakis in studio. Zach, a very funny comedian. Yes, I'm a big fan.
Thanks, Adam.
Everybody who's experienced Zach Galifianakis is a fan. And he's a comedian's comedian. No. He's a comedian's comedian comedians. Yeah, there's three. Usually here he's a comedian's comedian. I'm adding a third.
Oh, thanks, man.
Is it early for you, Zach?
Yeah, I went to a rave last night. That's my New Year's resolution, is to go to a rave every night. And so I haven't broken it yet. Yeah. So I just got done with a rave.
Are you axing? Are you...
I'm coming down.
Coming down?
Yeah.
Right, he was actually sleeping in the green room when I went and got him.
Wow.
I slept, drove here.
Wow.
Which is something you learn to do when you do the ecstasy circuit.
I didn't know you were part of that scene.
Yeah. Yeah, big glow stick guy.
Wow.
Big ecstasy user.
Yeah. I saw the pacifier, but I didn't know what that was. I thought it was just an oral fetish.
No, it's one of my trademarks.
Wow. And maybe you can't talk too much about it because I guess they're illegal, but where was this rave? Here in town? Or?
It was the Yoshinoya parking lot.
Wow.
Yeah. And I make my own Mayoni out of Tide.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I hear there's, you know, Dr. Bruce, a friend of mine, actually volunteers as a doctor at some of these raves because some of the kids OD. And they freak out and they have bad trips, but you've not had any problems that way, Zach?
No. I mean, I'm real private about it. Sometimes I do it just by myself.
You do your own thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you find, I mean, I don't want to delve too much in your personal life, mm-hmm. but does it make you more amorous or does it make you a better dancer? I've only done X a couple of times, and it was never in a rave setting, so I don't really have anything to compare it to.
For some reason, it makes me do an impression of Rich Little.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Because he's usually doing impressions of other people.
Right. But that's the confusing part of it.
You do a straight Rich.
I just do Rich Little.
And are people confused by that? I imagine some of the 17 and 18-year-olds there don't even know who Rich Little is.
They have no idea.
Who's Rich Little? I'm just kidding.
There you go.
His mom lives in my hometown.
A better question would be, do you know who these two people are?
Yes.
I met this gentleman, and ma'am, I haven't met you.
That's Rachel Perry.
Hey, Rachel.
Hi.
I'm Zach.
Big fan of that show you were on with Eliza Dushku.
Oh, yes, of course.
I loved that show.
Yes.
And you also worked on VH1, which I also worked on.
Such a tremendous fan, she couldn't remember the name of it, by the way.
Well,
but a huge fan, nonetheless.
They canceled it?
Did they?
No bigger fan of that.
I didn't realize they canceled it, Rachel. Thanks.
No, I just... I
thought we were on a hiatus for 2 years.
A tremendous fan who doesn't know the name of the show and wasn't sure it was canceled.
You know what? I got a lot to think about.
Okay. Rachel, good looking. Yes, Zach?
She's all right.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Adam?
Well, here's why...
What was that?
Well, here's why I bring this up, because it's people are tired of hearing me, and it sounds self-serving to say, oh, the beautiful Rachel Perry, she's attractive, you see her on FHM and VH1 and all those other initials. But it sounds like I'm just saying it because it's my show, and I'm trying to sort of blow smoke up the tokai of my own show. But when a guy like Zach Galifianakis comes in here, high as a kite on X, and gives you that kind of endorsement.
She's all right.
Yeah, she's all right.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. No, you're very pretty, Rachel. Does it feel awkward saying?
Yeah,
Zach, I'm sorry.
What are you? Wow, dude, are you hitting on me? Whoa, slow down.
David.
What's his last name?
Pasternak.
Calm down.
That's another one of Jimmy's goofy friends. This is Damashek. But close enough.
Oh, yeah. I'm thrilled.
Zach is... I have many questions about Zach. First off, the piano. You're a great piano player. Are you not, or am I just a lay person that thinks you're a great piano player?
Yeah, I think you may be just a lay person. It's pretty... I don't know how to read music, so it's just... I'm just kind of...
But you're classically trained, are you not?
I'm classically trained, but not in piano.
And just doing drugs and flying at X's. And did you were obviously your parents sat you down at some point and put a piano before you and said it's time to learn?
There was a piano in the basement, and I would just play it and just sit and daydream, and that's how it kind of, I took one lesson, and that was it.
And you took to it, yeah, in this started in at a young age?
Yeah, started pretty young, which was really hard because back then I was an amputee.
He's like a lizard.
Yeah, but we fixed things. And I just kind of would sit down and play. I really don't know what I'm doing, so.
That's more impressive, though, really, isn't it? He's taught himself to play the piano.
I don't like, you do hear about, I'm assuming Zach was kidding about the former amputee part, but once in a while you do hear about these amputees that are overcoming, you know, they still play the piano with their nose or their brow, they paint with their mouth, and a lot of people look at that as heartwarming. I'm angry at them. Because here's a guy with no arms and one leg who plays the piano, and yet I do nothing. And to me, it's a slap in the face. More so an attack. Now I'm lazy. I'm able-bodied. Look at me. I just watch TV programs about amputees who overcome adversity. When I can't paint, this guy paints better with his right nostril than I do with my good hand. I say enough. Zach?
Yeah.
How say you?
I agree with you. You do kind of look at these amazing people, and it is a little bit angry, you know.
Amazing or showboats?
They are a little show-offy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean,
you play the guitar with your ass. Big whoop. Big whoop. And then the blind people with the pianos and Jose Feliciano, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I say if you're blind or you have some sort of disability, you string beads for a living, and that's it.
Midgets, same thing. Midgets with hot women. You know,
yeah, I don't like that either. I don't like that at all.
I don't touch midget stuff, except I did see one shopping at a Baby Gap yesterday.
Oh, really? It's scary.
No, I just made that up.
Oh, good. Zach is going to be at the Improv this Thursday night, by the way. Which one? The one here on Melrose?
Yes, the one here on Melrose. And then Friday I will be at Arby's. I'm just going to be
just
eating.
Just eating?
Yeah.
Just hanging out and eating? And are you going to play? Now, I know you're trying to get away from the piano, and I keep getting back to it, but are you going to play the piano in your act, or are you away from the piano now?
Yes, I probably, I don't know. If I feel like it, I will, but sometimes I don't feel like it, so I won't sit down.
Really?
It just depends on what kind of mood I'm in. Sometimes I play it, and sometimes I don't. If there's one there, maybe I'll play.
Okay.
And there is one there.
May I ask this question? I admire this about you, Zach, is that for a man of your age, a full beard. I like that.
Thank you. It's really just a cover up. I have a few chins, so that's really why I have it.
I see, but this will help ease you. This will help ease the transition as the rest of us begin to age, and people will see it. This was your look, and you'll be able to carry it through the decades.
Right.
Much like Lynch.
Right. I've always said that. It's not a great look. I mean, it doesn't make you more handsome when you're 29, but at 49, you'll be thankful you had it. You don't change. I mean, you think about the great bearded men of history. You think of James Brolin. You think of the Dan Haggerty's, Grizzly Adams of the world. These guys never able to define their age between the age of 25 and 55.
That's right.
Brolin, I mean, the entire time I was growing up, Brolin just seemed a perpetual 37 years old.
Yeah, my idol is that guy from Home Improvement. Is the guy that I really am trying to emulate.
Richard Karn, the host of Family Feud.
Right.
Because if you can keep that look for the rest of your life, you're probably going to meet a lot of girls.
There's a few things about beards. One is you can get as fat as you like, and as long as your beard grows with your belly, you're fine. So for every 3 or 4 inches you put on your waistline, you grow 3/4 of an inch of beard, you're fine. Eventually you're 700 pounds, but you're like Father Time with the beard, and no one ever calls you fat. You're perpetually husky. You could be 5'5", 720 pounds, and go and talk to a physician. And he could pull out his body mass index chart, and if you had a huge beard, you'd still just be husky.
And people think you're jolly.
Yeah, they think you're jolly.
If you're fortunate enough to have that beard turn white, you can do some side work during the holidays as Santa Claus. But ironically, the guy who plays Santa, who's fat with the white beard, the actual white beard, never looks as good as the Santa with the fake beard. It's ironic. It's a worse thing.
It's like the fake Christmas
tree.
Well,
it's
better.
You guys say a lot of positive things about the beard. The one thing that is the downside is that when you look like I do, it's really hard to get a table for one at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a sketch pad.
Yeah. And buying the child's ticket at the theater is tough, too.
Yeah.
I always think this. There's one group that has beards. Like, you try to think of those professions or those segments of society that constantly have beards. Of course, the guys who play St. Nick. The one group that has more beards per capita than any other group are welders. The biker beard, you know, the guys working at the muffler shop, the welder, biker guy, always has the beard, and it's not the clean-cut beard either. It's the big, bushy biker beard. And I think to myself, there could not be a worse choice for a guy who does nothing but weld all day. Sparks spraying out. These guys' heads must catch on fire 10, 12 times an afternoon. I mean, imagine. So it's that thing, you know, you're underneath the car, you're going to do the work on the muffler, you got the stick up there, you got the heliarc, you're being showered with sparks, and you have essentially a bear taped to your chin. Could there be any worse plan? You'd have to wet it down every day. I couldn't think. The two guys with the beards are the welders and the street guys. When you see the Caltrans guys, the guys doing road work, those guys always have a mammoth beard, too, and the orange jumpsuit. And it's 110 degrees, and you're crawling around in a sewer. You come back up, there's a family of possum in the beard. It just seems like a horrible job for a beard. You know what would be a bad job for a beard, too? airline pilot. How would you like it if your airline pilot just came out with a huge biker beard?
Hey, how you doing? If you look to the right, you'll see the Grand Canyon. If you look to the left, you'll see my beard. It's out the window. It's in the number two engine. It's on fire.
Like
right
when
up.
You're serving a Fresca and you hand it up and it kind of grazes the beard, you know, the cup right. does. That'd be so great.
It'd just be awesome. I would love a commercial airline pilot that had the balls to have a huge biker beard. That'd be awesome. Noel?
Noel.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. There's a name. What's up?
Hey, man, I was just calling because I wanted to share my theory on beards and how all great men had beards.
All right.
You look at Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Abraham Lincoln.
Hitler.
Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
All bearded men.
Right.
But the evil man had just the mustache.
Oh, I see. Yeah, right.
Hitler, Saddam Hussein.
Stalin.
Stalin. Just the mustache. The plain mustache equals evil. Full bearded men. Can't go wrong.
You know what? I'll buy that. And if we had a coffee mug, we'd send you one for that theory.
Hey, thanks so much, bud.
God love you, Noel.
You know, yeah. Katie Holmes called my beard for advice.
That's a little reference to Tom Cruise being gay. You get it, Russell?
Thank you. Thanks.
I like that. We're going to take a break. We got about two more hours of facial hair talk with Zach Galifianakis. And then Frosty, Heidi, and Frank are going to step in and talk more about facial hair.
Hopefully Zach's brother Seth will.
Oh, football coach. It is sports season.
I think he's here. I don't know. I mean, he's staying at my house, but he... You guys send
see if we can get his brother Seth in here. Football coach. Talk a little sports with Shaq. All that after this. Carolla Show, Adam Carolla phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. If you have questions, we got answers. Zach Galifianakis is in studio. Zach's brother, who's a football coach, I believe somewhere in the Midwest, Seth Galifianakis, is going to be coming in. You called him during the break?
Yeah, I did. He's a football coach in actually North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
So he's, he's coached at the high school level?
High school level. He's my twin brother.
Okay, so he's going to come in and we'll talk bowl picture with Seth Galifianakis, football coach. He's on his way. We'll talk to him next break. We're going to do something which is basically we're going to freak out your pet. I came up with this idea some weeks back, and today is the day we're going to try it. What we're going to do is, if you have a dog, you need to get that dog near your stereo at this point. You need to get that dog in the same room that you have your FM receiver and turn the volume way up. Because I thought of this, because I watch TiVo with my dog, and the dog will inevitably react to whatever goes on. Not visually, but audibly. If it hears a chain rattling, if it hears other dogs barking, it begins barking. Always in the wrong direction, never at the TV set. So it's a strange thing. So it's funny. I'm trying to think of the countless hours I've spent trying to get pets to look at their reflection in the mirror or to look at the TV set. They'll have none of it. It's a weird thing. I think it's some sort of conspiracy where they're just effing with us. But all the time, it's like, you get the dog in front of the mirror. Look, look, there's Molly. Look, there's another. Yeah, not interested. And as a matter of fact, they look up, they look down, they look any direction but straight ahead where the mirror is, which is strange because that's the direction you're holding their head. How does that work? You know what I mean? If somebody said to me, here, if someone put my head in a vise and said, just go straight ahead, that's the way I would gaze. But not the dog. The dog looks up. The dog looks down. I try to get the dog to look at the TV. The dog won't look at the TV. But we'll always start barking if it hears something.
Well, so it's one way or the other. The dog either has no vanity. Dogs have no vanity whatsoever. Or they're ashamed of their appearance and refuse to take it in.
I think they're like superstitious natives. Who think their soul will be stolen by the TV or the mirror. Whatever it is, they'll never do, and they'll never look the direction you're pointing either. I think pointing is one of those human things I've realized from having a pet, too. I'm always pointing, Molly, look, and I'm pointing that way. The dog just either looks at me or looks down, but it'll never look the direction I'm pointing.
And don't point with a TV or a mirror in your hand, because they'll definitely not look.
Yeah, then you're persona non grata. So we're going to do this. Now, does everybody have their... noisemaker at the ready? Yes? Everyone's right. Got that right. All right, and what we're going to do, again, put your dog, put the dog near your speaker and turn up the speaker. And those of you who don't have pets or who are on the road right now, you're just going to have to bear with us. That's all. On the count of three, we're going to freak the dog out. Okay? Everyone got it? Everyone ready? Freak Let's out the it. Pets? One, two, three. Come here, boy! Come here, boy!
Come here, Molly!
Come on! Come on, Jack! Come on!
Look at
that,
Molly!
Come on, girl! All right, that was awesome. It was awesome.
I think Adam got the most joy out of that.
Where's the squirrel? Was that the mailman?
Good wind, it even.
Yeah. Whew, I'm gassed. Let's just play best of. Do we have best of yet, Brasco? We've been on for a day and a half. Do we have best of?
Very, very short season.
I think that was it. Best of. I think that was it. Okay. Just play that again.
Just play that again. I'm all schwitzy now. This is horrible. Zach Galifianakis in studio. Zach, again, his brother Seth. Thank you for playing along, by the way, Zach.
Sure.
His brother Seth, who's a high school football coach over in North Carolina, is going to come in here our next break and put the bowl situation in some kind of perspective for us. You guys hang out a lot? Do you talk much? Are you close?
We're not that close. He came out to watch the bowl game. And Pasadena. I don't know much about football, so we're not that close, but we're identical twins.
Is he staying with you when he's out here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's one of those things.
Yeah, and I only have I just have a one bedroom, and I've been sleeping on the floor to be a good host and stuff.
Right.
So
it's kind of.
And he's not into the whole ecstasy scene.
Oh, he's not. He's not. You've not been able to introduce him to your world?
I tried to put some in his Diet Snapple last night, but he caught me.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel put his penis in my Diet Snapple once. True story. Turns out it wasn't my Snapple.
I'm not and it was his penis.
No, it was his penis. It was his penis. He just,
that's just gross.
Saw me drinking a Snapple. Decided it'd be funny if he dangled his penis into the Snapple.
Inside the bottle? It'd be different if it were a Yahoo bottle because the opening is so small.
Yeah, he couldn't make it into a Yoo-Hoo, whereas I could make it into something with Sport Top on it. You know what I mean? I could make it with the squeeze.
I may could fit it into a can of pineapples.
I could
maybe.
I could fit mine into a squeeze thing of Hunt's tomato. Ketchup. I could actually. I'd have to use part of the vacuum on the inhale to get it in, but I could make it in. You know, the part where it's sucked in. I'd have to use that part. And of course, using the ketchup as lubricant. But still, I think I could make it into the squeeze top of some ketchup. But yeah, Jimmy dropped the ding-a-ling into some Snapple. And I thought it'd be funny because then I would come and drink the Snapple, and that, of course, according to his ways, would make us brothers. But it turns out it was another employee's Snapple. Wasn't mine. And he watching horrors, that person drank it.
I would expect that he'd be even more delighted.
In delight, actually, yeah. So we'll never say who that was, but anyone who's listening, assume it was you. That's the way you should choose to go through life. So, Zach, your brother, you're into the X scene. You're into the rave scene.
His brother just walked in, by the way. He's in the green room.
Oh, is he?
Yeah,
oh, he's here.
We'll get to him in the next segment.
All right, so he's going to come out for the next break?
Yeah, we're going to do Rachel's News, and we'll do Dave's Sports, and I think Seth can chime in on Dave's Sports.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, the guy knows football, no doubt about it. Fred?
Yeah.
What's up?
Adam?
Yes, Fred.
Yeah, I was just calling to clarify the reason why welders have a beard.
Yeah, why is that?
You'd much rather have a spark singe a little bit of hair on your face than burn a hole in your cheek.
Yeah, but you wear a welding mask when you weld, do you not?
Oh, yeah, you definitely do, but you always get the sparks that bounce off and off the inside and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm just saying beards will, I mean, ask Michael Jackson or Dan Haggerty, whose beard caught on fire blowing out birthday candles. one year, many years ago. I remember the story as a youth. Mm. Your hair will go up. I mean, I don't know what God's plan. I'm an atheist, but what the hell was God's plan to have this huge mop on your face and on your head that's highly flammable? If you really think about it, it'll go up like silly string. Hair really burns. It's not like kitty litter.
Oh, I set my hair. I set my hair on fire once.
Yeah.
On my birthday, like 5 years ago, and it was brutal. I was at a restaurant, and it was like, you know, I was leaning against a bar.
Yeah.
And there was like a tea light candle on the bar, and all of a sudden I'm like, what's that smell?
Yeah.
Like hundreds of people in this restaurant. I turned around. Finally, my friend saw it and like was like hitting the back of my head, put it out, but like nobody. You know, it was burning for a while. Nobody said anything.
If I had long hair, I would set it on fire daily. The worst, actually, worse than the bikers are the Hasidic Jews with the huge beards. Always kindling the Sabbath candles with that mammoth biker beard and the peyos hanging off the side. These are people who know how to handle fire. Dig this theory. You never hear about a Jew's trailer burning down. You never hear about a Jew's mattress catching on fire. Jews never, they're not arsonists. A Jew's never started a fire. Jew couldn't light one of those Pine Mountain logs if he had 1,000 bics on him. Yet, he handles fire masterfully. It's like, you know how the American Indians aren't scared of heights? Jews are that way with fire.
You would expect
think about that.
You'd see more Jews in the welding profession.
Yeah, you really would. If it wasn't for the goyim, you think you'd be able to drive down Fairfax and see rabbis with their entire heads ablaze just running down the street every day? All the amount of facial hair to candle lighting, you think there'd be an incident on a daily basis? Never see it. Boy, I tell you, those Jews really know how to handle fire. All right. Are we taking a little break here?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And when we come back, we'll have the news with Rachel Perry. It's on fire. We'll have the sports, Dave Damashek, and then Seth Galifianakis, Zach's brother, being here to talk some sports, too. All that after this. Yeah, little old Joe Jackson for you kids. You forget about Joe Jackson. Everyone thinks, oh, it's this melodic stuff he did in the late 80s. No, this is Joe Jackson. Look sharp, I'm the man. Great albums. I'm Adam Carolla, phone number 1-866-901-ADAM. Zach Galifianakis is here. Seth Galifianakis is going to be joining us soon. He coaches at the high school level in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be in here to share some of his thoughts and knowledge about the bowl season, which, of course, we're in the midst of. Rachel Perry is going to be doing the news. Dave, we have a phone call with our own Dave Damashek. He calls his mom to get a synopsis and critique of yesterday's show. That's interesting. We have that tape from yesterday.
It was favorable.
Right?
You'll be pleased to learn.
Oh,
but I don't want to spoil it. But yeah,
she's a fan of yours.
Yes, she is. Yes.
And but before all that, we got Rachel Perry with the news.
Well, of course, the West Virginia coal miners, the big story late last night, everybody thought there was great news. They heard that that only one of the miners was thought to be dead. And then, of course, a few hours later, family members were told that only one of the miners was alive and 12 were dead. Of course, what do you expect is going to happen? This is one of the family members had to say.
I call this injustice, and I will tell you all right here, right now, I plan on suing.
Wow. It's people grieve in different ways. Some people honk the horn and shout about lawsuits, others cry. Cry. Okay. All right, so she's broken up. Can't people be sad for at least, can we at least exhume the body of your husband before we start talking lawsuits? All right. It's a sad situation, but let's hear you grieve. For just give it a week of grieving, and then we'll start getting into the lawsuit part.
But what are they?
Who's riding the horn in the background, by the way? It's a grieving miner's widow's doing it. Hey, get on the horn! Get on it! This is funny. Yeah.
Who is she planning on suing? Like, what is she trying to sue for? Like, the death or the fact that somebody gave her the wrong information?
I think
like,
she...
Like, you lied to me.
She would sue the man. I think the company that owns the coal mine.
You could sue for lying.
Sue again. Let's hear that one more time. I want to know who was on that horn.
I call this injustice, and I will tell you all right here, right now, I plan on suing.
I think it's an alarm.
Oh, it's an alarm.
Yeah.
All right. Someone had tried to steal the gun from her car.
Someone's stealing her car.
Yes. All right. Well, sad. Sobering sad news.
Of course. I mean...
Yes.
According to a British newspaper, Iran is trying to build a nuclear bomb.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
So misunderstood, those people.
Western intelligence agencies have found that Iranian scientists are scouring Europe for nuclear bomb technologies. Of course, this is going to further tensions between Iran and the U.S.
The good news is
the United States of America.
Yeah, the great news is they have Iranian scientists who face Mecca 30 times a day and live in a cave, so they don't actually. What you want is an atheist scientist. These are scientists. These guys, atheists, they'll get you the A bomb in the 40s. You have the super secular ones, and these guys are into it. These guys are 100 years behind because they're so busy reading whatever retarded text that they believe in. Thank you. Thank you for that commentary.
No, thank you.
Taking the thanking himself.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, every time I hear the story about somebody who won the lottery,
let me just say this one more time.
Please.
Hey, everyone does that thing where it's like, well, you guys have the bomb. What's wrong with you? You guys have the bomb. How come other countries? Why should you guys? Because we're not insane, because we're not religious zealots, because we don't want to exterminate races and breeds of people. You idiots. It's like saying to a cop, why should you have a gun and criminals can't have the gun? Because they like to shoot Korean store owners. That's why they can't have a gun. We need a gun to stop them. That's why. Idiots. Go ahead. Thank you.
Now, we
must stop them from making this bomb.
Now for some good news.
Okay.
Hugh Hawkins of Beaverdale, Iowa, Powerball winner, won, what did he win, $113 million Powerball jackpot.
That is the worst name for a gay porn I've ever heard of in my life.
What?
Powerball.
That wasn't funny.
Just keep rolling. Who's going to be doing news tomorrow, Brett?
I'm free, Adam.
You free, Adam?
Yeah.
Okay, I have you in here.
Tomorrow Thursday?
Yeah.
Yep.
Pencil him in. Go ahead.
Hugh Hawkins of Beaverdale, Iowa, talking about what he is going to not buy.
I will not own an alarm clock from this day forward. I literally haven't slept more than 2 hours at any night in the last 2.5 weeks. So I am very much looking for a good night's sleep in the near future.
I don't want to get racial here, but Hugh Hawkins from Beaverdale won the lottery. I know a Jew when I hear one. let's be honest. Let's just be honest.
He, of course, I always think of 1984, like that. When you hear about people winning the lottery, I don't know. I never, do you ever know anyone who actually won like a big lottery thing?
No, because we don't know poor people that are putting every egg in one retarded basket. That's why. We know people who are employed, who have lives, who are gainful. That's why. This lottery is a horrible message to send to this country's citizens. You have no shot in life except for this 1 in 10 million shot. So get in your house coat, put your slippers on, go hammer your welfare check, and get in line. That's what it is.
You say we know employed people, but we also know retarded people who do things like that. And one of them is seated in the corner behind.
Big Tad.
I meant to
insult your people or your race. Or I don't know what retard is. Is that a people or a religion? Or Tad, we're sorry. Have you bought you bought a few tickets in your day?
Always buy tickets.
Always. Yeah. All right. And look at him. It's
no, he can't get up.
He's rolling in clover. All right, Tad, back to your stool.
My point is that Hugh Hawkins filed for bankruptcy 7 months ago.
Oh, really?
And then wins this huge jackpot. But here he is talking about what he is going to buy.
Uh-huh. Some dignity.
My kids have been asking us to get a dog. And I think we can afford to put up a fence around the backyard. So I believe my children will be getting a puppy fairly soon.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
I like how he's like, it's like a proclamation he's making. I will not buy an alarm clock from this day forward.
Yeah.
My children shall have a puppy. Thank you.
He can replace that rope he's using to hold his pants up with an actual belt. That's the, one of the first moves he can do. Look, this whole thing where you declare bankruptcy or file for bankruptcy half a year ago, and now you're out buying lottery tickets again, this just makes my argument. It is a horrible message for our government to send to its people.
That's
and
why
also,
I think it's fake.
Football, you can't gamble on football, but you can gamble on some fairy tale you'll never actually have a shot of winning. Please, you people sicken me. Speaking of football, everybody.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. All America on the edge of their seats for tonight's game, the Rose Bowl.
And
USC, Texas for the
pardon
National
Pardon me, but Seth Galifianakis is now joining us in studio to sit in on the sports.
Football expert.
Oh, he coaches.
Can I just interrupt? He's a tad nervous, so can you just like just be gentle on him and stuff?
Okay, that's Zach. They're twins. Go ahead.
That's nice, protective sibling. As I say, the big game tonight. Last night, a very tasty appetizer, the Orange Bowl, between Penn State and Florida State. Two very old coaches, Bobby Bowden and Joe Paterno, going head-to-head. Penn State's Kevin Kelly, place kicker, after missing two shots at winning the game earlier, wins in the third overtime with the field goal. And Joe Pa, 103-year-old man, had this to say after the game.
Well, I kept saying to myself, when are we going to get this thing over?
He's talking about life. I like Paterno because he wears the glasses that mobsters wore in the 60s. See him sitting
right.
You see him on a lounge chair in Cuba. There's this huge Swifty Lazar glasses, and they're smoked, too. I like that.
What is Seth,
any thoughts? Any thoughts on the big game yesterday?
I just talking to this mic.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched the football game last night. It was three overtimes. It was an amazing game. I wanted Florida State to win because I love Bobby Bowden.
Uh-huh.
I love those state troopers that he walks with out on the field. I told my players, I was like, it'd be my dream to have a state trooper to walk with me out on the I think it looks so neat.
Right.
Those guys.
It's provocative. Yeah, the way they're escorted out to center field to shake hands. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes you look. He looks so important. I mean, Bobby Bowden is important, but I just love those guys in the uniforms and stuff.
And you coach high school at the high. You coach at the high school level.
That's right. We're the Wilkes Central Flaming Arrows, and we're. Didn't have that great of a season this year, but we'll get
Seth seems like a real tough guy.
Yeah. He doesn't seem anything like his brother.
No, we're nothing not much alike.
Oh, so butch. Keep continue, Damashek.
Well, of course, as I say, the big event though tonight, the national crown on the line, the Rose Bowl, USC in Texas, and Sandra Day O'Connor is flipping the coin. The coin flip, of course.
Yeah. Here's how much I know about the judicial system. Chick or dude? That dude? Chick.
Sandra. Sandra Day, yes. I believe a woman.
Yeah.
And, of course, it wouldn't be a Rose Bowl without Sandra Day O'Connor flipping the coin.
You think football, you think Sandra Day O'Connor.
And, of course, the flagellation has begun. USC for Texas, what a great team they are and how stiff a challenge they're going to pose. Here's Coach Pete Carroll.
Texas comes in with an incredible football team. One that no matter how you look at them statistically or you look at their personnel or their depth or their style, they have just stood out so far ahead of the crowd.
They can't be beaten, apparently, according to Pete Carroll, this Texas team. But not to be outdone, Texas linebacker Rashad Bobino,
another Jew.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rashad Bobino had this to say about SC.
This is a highlight tape. This is not a game film, you know. Watching Reggie Bush jump over people, Matt Lino squeezing them through the holes, Dwayne Jarrett make one-hand catches, Lindell run over people, tight ends just dragging ends, and the guards, oh, my God, just taking linebackers and just throwing them 15, 10 yards back. I mean, looking at them like, this is a team? It's, man, I see.
Wow. Seth, any how say you on this? You have any picks for the game?
Well, I tell you, it's USC, my team. We run the same kind of West Coast offense.
Oh, you do.
So I'm a little bit leaning towards the Trojans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that they win and pull it off. I love it. I like Pete Carroll.
But you guys are the Flaming Arrows, mm-hmm. right? That's the name of your squad?
That's the name of the mascot.
Oh, the name of the mascot. Do they have an Indian up on a horse? Or
it's just an arrow.
The name of the mascot arrow. Is the Flaming Arrow?
No, it's just a guy dressed as an arrow.
Oh, okay. And is he, what direction is he pointing, if you don't mind me asking?
The arrow points straight up. Like,
oh, it goes up.
Let's go, arrows.
I didn't know if it was I'm with stupid or exit this way.
I'd appreciate you not to laugh at the...
First off, I believe these people are heroes, the people that coach at the high school level. They mold the young people of today to be future leaders of tomorrow. I really do. And they don't get a lot of extra pay for this.
The only extra pay, I'm also a driver's ed teacher,
mm-hmm.
and that's the only extra pay I get.
Right, and you're in every morning, 8 a.m., right?
Yeah. What's
my name? I'm Adam.
I work probably more than a social studies teacher,
right?
A history teacher,
right. Hands on with the youth, yes.
Yeah,
hands on. Go ahead, Dave.
That's that. We're talking about the SC and Orange Bowl. Texas and the Rose Bowl. What else is to be said?
I didn't know
everything else goes to the back burner.
I didn't know you were going to mail it in. I thought you had a report.
You thought wrong.
All right. That.
Actually, Dave spoke to his mother yesterday about the show.
Oh, he did. Oh, that was a smooth
Yes, and
transition.
As I say with that, let me just say I spoke with her directly following the show to see how she felt about how I did and how Adam, obviously, you did, and everyone else.
Your mother was listening in Arizona?
She was. She listened to the entire show, and this was the first day of what I imagine will be every day.
Now, you recorded this unbeknownst to her.
She was not aware I was recording her after the show, but, I'm certain she's listening right now because she'll be listening to every second of every show until we inevitably get canceled.
Hi, Slug.
Mom.
Yes.
So?
You were wonderful.
Thought?
Oh, absolutely. You were yourself. Sometimes they step on your line.
Yeah,
that's the old man,
20 minutes,
too.
It didn't seem like you had a lot to say there.
It's not my show.
But you didn't get my message.
Not my show. It's his show. I have to let him.
Show,
let
right.
But what do you think of, you thought that my stuff was funny?
Oh, yes, your song was wonderful.
She enjoyed it.
I wish you could do it again sometime.
Well, what do you think of Brusca?
Who's that?
Jim Brusca, the producer.
Oh, I thought he was good.
Ooh.
I don't think we need to hear too much of him, but he was good. Done and done.
You
thought?
Rachel.
Yeah.
The girl, she calls you.
You talk all the time.
And the girl. She has nothing to say about me.
You're just there, and you're talking all the time, and you can say stuff and everything.
You thought I got to talk enough?
Huh? Oh, yeah, you talked enough. I mean, I think you should talk more. I was going to say that, but I thought, no. You always say, try to be funny with these people. I was going to ask you, like, why are these other people on with you? But I think Adam's very funny. I like the way he tells stories and stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, not enough about Adam. Who cares?
All right, well, I'll call later. People are waiting to go out to eat. So.
Oh, good. Okay,
I go.
Slug, well, you were wonderful. We were very, very proud of you.
All right.
So, all right, we'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right.
All right, be good.
All right.
That explains so much.
It's an objective opinion, but, I mean, I think any positive feedback is great.
Wait.
Right. It was positive feedback, and I appreciate it. You know, makes doing this sort of thing. When you can touch just one person, it makes the whole thing worthwhile. So.
Yeah, it's hard to stand back and get that distance, put on your critic's hat, and really get that distance even from your own family members. Not sugarcoat it and just give them your honest opinion of their performance, but it was thumbs up from the parents.
Yeah.
Not much thumbs up for me, by the way.
They said you're fine. Okay. What happens in a family? And I'm almost looking forward to it in my own relationship. But what happens? Where is that crossroads where the woman takes over the talking and the man stops talking. It happens with every older couple I know. The woman becomes the spokesperson for the couple, and the guy just becomes this sort of figurehead who stands in the background. And he will echo the thoughts of the woman every once in a while. That's right. Your mother's right. Your mother's right. Where's that point? Is it? Are you broken? Are you that pee-whip that you're scared to open your mouth anymore? You know what I mean? Because when you meet a couple in their 30s, a married couple in their 30s, the guy takes charge. The guy's doing all the conversation. The woman's looking pretty and standing in the background. That same couple in their 60s, the woman is talking like an auctioneer, and the guy's just standing, staring into his drink, two steps behind her. How does that work?
But heaven forbid, though, with my old man, that he not be on the phone when my mother is on the phone as well. The old man has to be there just sort of with his ears leering.
Right. I think maybe it's the baby thing, because if it's like your mother, so maybe when your wife gives birth, maybe she's going to come in here.
That would be awesome.
And we'll only hear from her.
I'll just stand in the back. They become like one of the members of Islam. They're just standing behind some guys delivering a speech with their arms folded. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. That's all they become now. I'm going to have to get a kufi and stand in the background while my wife does the talking. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. Our own Mike Lynch calls his mom for a reaction. Also, we have the Get to Know Yourself, the Introduce Yourself songs from Big Tad and Mike Lynch. Seth Galifianakis still hanging in. Zach Galifianakis still hanging in. Oh, all that after this.
97.1 Free FM.
It's all facets of life.
Okay. All facets of life. Hey, everybody. Adam P. Touch Carolla. That's how I'm going to do it now. I have no middle name, as I was explaining to the horrified Seth and Zach Galifianakis a moment ago. Parents were too poor to come up with a middle name. But I will replace my middle name with whatever product I'm enjoying
most. As Joe DiMaggio became Mr. Coffee.
I'm right. Mr. P-Touch.
I see.
Yeah. Mr. P-Touch. Models starting as low as $19.99. Well under $20. Big range of colorful stickers. I label everything. I do. I actually have one stuck to my dog that has it says dog. And it says Molly, because I didn't want to be confused. I have one stuck to my wife that says Frigid. I have one stuck to everything. That's how I am. Left hand, right hand, as we discussed it yesterday. Even my eyelids.
Producer labeled Brusca.
Brusca, I got it all. He'll not be on the show, by the way. We learned that from Damashek's mom. Here's the thing. Extra strength adhesive. They have outdoor labels. They have everything. You see the full line of Brother P-Touch electronic labeling systems at Staples, Office Max, Office Depot, and other fine retailers. Yeah. The Adam Carolla Show. Turn that down, please. I'm Adam Carolla. Phone number, 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Seth Galifianakis has joined us in studio.
Thanks.
Zach Galifianakis is also here.
Thank you.
They are identical twins?
Yeah, we're identical. Oh. I was born first.
Oh, Seth, you were born first?
Yeah.
Okay. Seth is out of North Carolina. He works very closely with youth.
He's high school football coach.
High school football coach, and in my mind, a hero.
Can I do a shout? Are you guys on in North? I was going to do a shout out. Is that what they're called? Shout out?
Yeah, you mean we want to say hi to somebody?
Yeah, I'm just going to say hi to everybody at the high. Are you guys on in?
Well, I think we stream on the web, so some of your players might be able to catch us on the internet.
Okay, I just wanted to say hi to all the students and to Principal McFarthers is there, and I just wanted to say hi to everybody. This is a shout out.
Oh, okay. So you said hi to the team,
hey,
the Flaming Arrows. Yes.
Why didn't you ask Seth what he thought of my attractiveness?
Oh, Seth?
Yeah,
we talked to Zach.
I feel like that's you're just leaving him out.
It's a good point. We spoke to Zach earlier about Rachel Perry and how beautiful she was. He was not demonstrative in his description, but you're a man who has a discerning palate as it comes to beauty, do you not? I mean, you know a beautiful woman when you see one?
Yes, Seth, I was just, we were just talking about, like, you know, Adam goes, do you think she's pretty?
Right. But Seth, what do you think? Do you think Rachel's attractive?
Yeah, she, yes, but I'm married. That's,
oh, are you?
Yeah.
It's disrespectful.
You're married?
Yes.
To your job?
No. No, I have a wife.
Oh, you actually have a lady?
Yes.
Okay. Any kids?
Not. No. It's personal.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought maybe as a coach, you know, I know your team. You look at your team as your children.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. I do look at them as like, I got 22 kids to look at after Helen. I don't have time for
right.
my kids.
Right. I understand you have to look at the kids. And, again, hands-on. And you know, people talk about the NFL and the players and the role models, and they use the word hero pretty lightly, but to me, all the high school, all the guys coaching, these guys, they don't have multi-million-dollar-a-year contracts. They're not doing endorsement deals. They're not flying in private jets. These guys are there. They're if there's ointment to be rubbed on, they're mm-hmm. putting it on. If there's a knee to be wrapped, they're wrapping it. If you have to apply a hot compress to the lower back of a young player, if they need some help in the shower, you're there. Am I right?
I don't. Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm saying you're a hero.
Don't be sarcasm, Adam. Would you say, Seth, that you are a stern taskmaster with your boys?
Yeah.
Or are you what they call a player?
Yeah, you're George Allen coach. Type coach.
I'd like to model. I mean, I do. George Allen is one of my. I mean, he's one of the heroes that I look up to.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean. I am strict with the boys. I mean, mm-hmm. There's a curfew. There's,
right.
I mean, during the season, there's, I mean, the only time we'd have a little bit of fun. I mean,
right.
sometimes
sure.
I'll bring in, my wife watches a lot of Dharma and Gregory runs,
mm-hmm.
and I'll bring in copies of Dharma and Greg, and I'll show the guys. I'm like, let's loosen up before the game and stuff.
Everybody have a laugh together.
Seth,
that's nice.
Seth was telling me. During the break, though, he is a bit of a disciplinarian.
Cracks and, the whip.
Yeah, that it was his way or the Hershey Highway.
I don't get it.
I didn't understand it either at the time, but I think he may have slipped up a little. But anyway, Seth Galifianakis is here. He coaches high school in North Carolina. Go Flaming Arrows. Also, Zach, his brother's here. Not Zach Galifianakis, a comedian, of course. I don't want Zach to take this personally, but probably didn't bring his A game. He was out last night. He's still probably axing pretty good right now. He was at a rave last night, and he had to get up pretty early this morning. And, of course, Seth staying with Zach at his house and just having a one-bedroom at all probably didn't help sleeping on the floor.
No, I slept on the floor while Seth was... I told you to get in the bed, Zach. We're brothers. It's no big deal.
Yeah, and a lot of guys, even though you're brothers, a lot of guys are just uncomfortable with that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a shame, because I think men should be together. I mean, if they're family.
But you took...
the most loving thing that you can do is
you can
share
do is
your
open,
bed.
Open your bed
share
to another man.
Share your bed to another person, a child.
I agree.
When Zach and I go home when he comes to visit North Carolina, which he barely ever does, we always sleep in the same bed. It's a full size bed that we grew up in,
mm-hmm.
and we always share it. But for some reason, last night at his house, he just didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
He said it had something to do with the drugs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people, a lot of guys on a small bed will go ahead and shift positions. They'll put the feet where the head is and the head where the feet are, thinking that it's somehow more heterosexual.
Yeah.
To me, it's even worse. You've now assumed the 69 position on a single.
Yeah.
That to me, probably worse.
More egregious than that is the fact that you have some grown man stinking feet next to you.
Zach's feet smell just like Cool Ranch Doritos.
Wow. Well, I got to believe if Zach was not as high as he is right now, he'd probably have some comment about that. Greg? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Greg, you there? Well, let me try again. Yeah, what's up, Greg?
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, you're a comic genius. I've been with you forever.
Thank you.
You got to hire this guy for sports, this Flaming Arrow dude. He's genius. Listen to that accent.
Yeah.
I can't stand listening to the sports, but if this guy's telling it, I'm listening.
Yeah. Dave Damashek's mom just fell on a spatula and committed suicide. She was standing in the kitchen making eggs over easy for the old man and literally just fell on it, Harry Carey style.
You, Adam.
Thanks, Greg. Listen, I wish we could have Seth. Of course, Dave Damashek does a great job doing sports on the show. I wish we could have Seth in maybe once a week to, you know, comment on what was going on as it pertained, maybe do a high school football update, something like that. But he does reside in North Carolina.
Yes.
I know we have phones, but this man, his life are his players. His children are his players, yes?
I hope that you're being sincere, Adam, because I know this is a comedic show and stuff, but
right.
I do honestly take this stuff seriously, and I know mm-hmm. Zach does his stand-up humor and stuff.
Yeah.
And this may be one of those comedy shows. I've never heard of you. Zach was like, it's the guy with big teeth. Have you never seen him?
Wow.
And I'm like, no.
Zach, you couldn't have said the funny guy or the tall guy or the handsome guy?
He was like, what does he look like? And I said, well, his teeth are, which I think is, I mean, I didn't mean it as a, I think that's nice.
Okay,
like,
put Seth back on. I'm becoming a bigger fan of Seth than I am of Zach.
Did Zach.
Yeah. All right, now, as promised, our own Mike Lynch, who's, Mike's duties here would be to run the sound effects and write a few jokes and do that kind of stuff. Mike, you called your mother, did you not?
I did, yes, because not that it's a competition, but, you know, while Dave's mom was in the comfort of a nice, warm Phoenix home, my mother was home from school on a snow day. She's a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to the show via the internet, and when the internet was crashing on her, she was listening to it over the phone while my sister had it on her computer two towns away.
Wow.
What is with your mothers? These are like...
Yeah. I like that. So you called her unbeknownst to her.
Again, yes.
Also. And got a critique of the show.
Yes.
So let's hear it.
Hey.
Hi.
She's calling you back.
Oh, okay.
I called early. Dad said you were at the bowling alley.
Yeah, I am.
Mom's
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I had a really good first game.
Oh, good.
It was exciting to hear you today. It was nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, is Dave Damashek going to be doing all that talking all the time?
Or was it just, you know, I thought he was playing
He seems to be like the sidekick kind of thing.
Wow.
He's going to be a significant part of the show. I think he's really good.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. I didn't realize he had an accent, though.
Hold on a second. Is your mom a pin setter? What?
It was bowling night.
She's physically at the lane.
Yeah, I called her on her cell phone at the bowling alley.
Wow.
Yeah. In fact, she interrupted the conversation at one point to go bowl.
To pick up a spare?
Yeah.
Does she have her own shoes?
I don't think so. I think she...
Rental?
But she does
own ball?
Own ball, yes.
Wow.
Bag, everything. Every Tuesday.
What's her average, you know?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
That's actually the end.
Oh, that's it. Oh, sorry. I just happened to come in at the end of the bit?
At the end. Yeah,
wow.
She was commenting on Dave's accent.
Talk about radio instinct. Well, anyway, Seth Galifianakis will be replacing Dave Damashek in just a couple of few with sports. Seth is here today as well as his slightly hungover comedian brother, Zach, who was up at a rave to all hours of the evening last night. It's a little bit under the weather, but he's hanging tough. We have...
Tad's on pins and needles right now because he knows he's up next with his song. So we have Tad's song and Lynch's song.
Oh, yes,
they're going to introduce themselves through song the west side of America.
Yes, like we did yesterday.
Yeah, and we'll play some snippets from yesterday as well because I thought both Dave and Rachel were outstanding.
They were outstanding.
Are you guys singing? Are people getting to sing and stuff?
Yes, there will be singing.
Do you mind...
Would you like to sing?
Yeah, do you want me when later? Do it now.
Well, we have to take what we call a commercial break now. And then when we come back, Seth, you can do a little bit of singing. Maybe the fight song from the Flaming Arrows?
I have a favorite song, if you don't mind.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll get that ready, and we'll have all that after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah, Michelle, pull that one out of the hopper, would you? Who the hell is that? Nine Inch Nails?
Probably a tribute to Zach from his rave last night.
Oh, yeah. Zach Galifianakis here. He's still pretty high, or maybe just coming down.
No,
he's sweating.
I took some Ambien.
Oh, so you're cool? All right, so you're even now?
Yeah.
Okay, Zach was at a rave all last night. Came in here about 7 this morning. I don't know if he'd gone to bed. His brother, Seth Galifianakis, high school football coach, is staying with him in the one bedroom. He's from North Carolina. He coaches. He's out here for the bowl game. And, Seth, thanks for being on the show, by the way.
Oh, thanks. It's been a blast.
Yeah, Seth, not a married man, no children. His team's really his kids. And not accustomed to being on a radio, not a comedian like his brother, Zach. And I think you're doing great, by the way.
I'm starting to loosen up a little bit, I tell you. It's easy.
Right, as you go along, it just becomes a conversation.
Yeah, it's like fun. I'm not nervous or nothing.
Well, I mean, obviously you're used to speaking to your team, right?
That's what I was thinking during the is they called breaks?
Yeah.
During the break, I was like, yeah, this is kind of like being inspired to talk to the guys.
Right, because you're pacing in front of the chalkboard, the team has taken a knee, you're inspiring them to victory.
That's right.
Obviously in a commanding voice you have. Mike Lynch is here. We heard from Mike's mother explaining that she wasn't a huge fan of Damashek only moments ago. It reminded me, and we have a few more Introduce Yourself songs to go, it reminded me of the very first time I did stand-up comedy. I did an open mic at the Comedy Store. Afterward, of course, my 5 friends that were there all told me I was great. I sucked, obviously, but they told me I was great. And then we went to one of the girls' houses, and she said, you know, before we head out, let me just check my answering machine. And she punched, this is back in the day when it actually had a tape in it. It was old, like, Codaphone or something. And she hit the play, and you could hear the outgoing message, and you could hear the person, one of her girlfriends, calling, saying, I'm just calling to see how Adam did. I'm just checking. And then you hear her sister pick up the phone. Hello? Hello? That Sheila? Yeah. Oh, no. Okay. But the whole thing's being recorded. Remember those? That was it. By the way, someone should sue the makers of these phone machines that the entire conversation would be recorded. Where were you tonight? We saw Adam do stand-up. Oh, I wanted to go. How was it? Don't ask. I had to sit there. She went to shut the machine at this point. Like, okay, you've done it. It's essentially the coroner pulling the sheet up, the loved one, on the slab, and then wanting to shut it, me saying no. No, I need a moment with the corpse. And I proceeded to hear this 10-minute synopsis of how horrible I was as a stand-up. And it wasn't one of these things. It's one thing when you cut somebody off on the road and they call you fat ass. It's prompted. Right. There's a context to it. This no malice. Just a good, honest description of how much I sucked. A long-winded, honest description of how much I
shot. That might be a little bit better than what
you
usually do.
Hell no.
You have to deal with that, but then, of course, with your parents, just apathy.
Yes, just pure apathy. Better than out-and-out criticism. Right. I must thank them. All right, so yesterday we did a little Introduce Yourself song so we could get to know the cast. First, we had Dave Damashek do his ditty, which came out quite nicely, by the way. Can we hear a little bit?
Thank you.
A little bit of that, Lynch? What a voice.
Nobody does it better.
I think we get it, Dave. Yes, we do. All right, that's enough of that. And then the beautiful Rachel Perry came in and sung a little about herself.
Why?
I didn't know this was a Kelly Clarkson song at the time, by the way. Boy, they both have long spool ups, don't they?
I am a lactose intolerant Canadian. You might remember me from my time at VH1. Now I'm with Carolla on Family Guy. He played Death Number 2.
A lot Yeah, a lot of people can't hit those high notes, and neither can Rachel.
You know,
that's
what
basically what I was saying.
Was so funny? I was just talking to your agent. He said, that guy really have a voice for radio. What a great voice.
Yeah, I think he meant talking.
Speaking only.
Yeah.
Let's just do Lynch's song now, because we're going to have to get the break.
All right, so Breska.
Okay.
Let's hear in our own Mike Lynch, who was serving that up to you all via his computer. Now he's on the spot. Mike, you ready?
Yes, I am.
Get into that. Pull that mic close to that beautiful mug of yours.
Thank you very much. You ready?
Yep. Ray Charles.
Sinatra.
Oh yeah, that's life, yeah.
That's Mike. That's what all the people say. Do the sound effects for Adam, even though my drops are lame.
Yeah.
And I know I'm gonna be fired soon. When I show up drunk at noon. I said I'm Mike.
That's right.
And as young as I may be, I feel like I'm 50. I've got a bad knee. But I don't let it get me sad. 'Cause no matter what, I'm still healthier than Tad.
He's coming up next.
I've been a stock boy, a student, an intern, a runner. I've been forced to sing.
Wow.
For Kilborn and Bill Maher and Kimmel, now Adam. And I know one thing.
Woo.
When the show's over and all the news has been read, I'll drive myself home and crawl back into bed. That's Mike.
Take it home.
I tell ya, I'm so effing tired. I thought of quitting, baby, but I'll just wait until I'm fired. Being awake this early should be a crime. Think I'll repeat the chorus to kill some time. I've been a stock boy, a student, an intern, a runner. I've been forced to sing, wrote for Kilborn and Bill Maher and Kimmel, now Adam. And I know one thing. When the show's over and all the news has been read, I'll drive myself home and crawl back into bed.
I'll let you do that now, Mike. I think we got it.
Oh, I can't deny it.
Do something that rhymes with commercial.
Let him go.
Big ending.
And you want me to sing my song another time? I'm gonna curl myself up in the fetal position and cry.
Yeah. The great Mike Lynch, everybody. Powerful stuff. Big Tad on the way. Our 325-pound show mascot, Seth Galifianakis, is going to do a little singing as well. All that after this. Adam Carolla, phone number 866-901-ADAM. Oh, boy, a lot of show still left in store. Big Tad is going to sing his Introduce Yourself song. Seth Galifianakis, Zach's twin brother, who's in here from North Carolina, has a song he'd like to sing as well, and then we'll figure out who did the best song, and then we have Rachel Perry with news, and Dave Damashek with the number one sports. So let's get it started with Big Tad. Now, those of you who don't know Big Tad should just picture a manatee with a goatee and a bad to the bone T-shirt on, and I think that would about cover Big Tad. Big Tad.
That's pretty good. That's a good description.
Gentle giant, heart of gold.
Yes.
Brain of pudding.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Big Tad.
All right. I'd like to before we start this, I want to apologize to all John Lennon fans out there. Let's start this.
Funny.
I'm not fat, I'm fluffy,
Gonna lose it gets harder as I try. I'm also kind of goofy. But hey, I'm still a lovable kind of guy. I still live at home with my mom. But that's about to change. I live in the OC.
Really on it.
That's where I'm gonna stay. Everyone tells me to move to LA. But I say there's no freaking way.
Alright.
I'm Orange County born and raised. So 714, I'm representing today.
You're really only 335. I don't know
what you're
saying.
I used to work at a strip bar. That was really fun. Now a fluffy man is back on the radio. So let's get her done.
Wow. All right, that's enough like that. I think we got it. We can't do the entire song. It's a 9-minute song. Nah, that's good. Aww. What do you got? Anything in there we haven't heard?
Just for the record, I'm 30. You got to understand, it's been so long since I've done it. I've got callus on my left hand, so hopefully in 06 I'll find a woman.
All right, you got a beat off track in there.
Cool.
Fantastic. Big cat, everybody.
Big cat.
That was fantastic.
Tad closed his eyes while he was singing. It was impressive. Yeah. It was really interesting.
All great artists or people who fart do that when they're singing. Seth Galifianakis is here, Zach's football coach brother. He's from North Carolina. He had a song that he wanted to sing as well, a little ditty.
It's real quick. I didn't know we were supposed to write our own songs.
Well, that was really just for the crew here, but it's great that you have something.
Okay, this kind of wraps up my inner self.
Uh-huh, so this is what you're about?
Yeah. 3, 2. Despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage.
Wow. Wow, that's not Nine Inch Nails song, is it?
Smashing Pumpkins.
Smashing Pumpkins, or as my dad would call it, Smashing Dumplings. Nice. Wow.
Thanks.
Wow, that was awesome.
Love is a vampire.
Yeah, you got a lot. Do you like that song, or do you just feel like you have a lot of stuff sort of bottled up?
So it's a little bit... like, he sings this to me. This is like his, rage towards me.
Oh, Zach, you feel like that was directed toward you?
Yeah, like when we get in arguments out of the blue, he'll just start singing.
I see. So that's
his whole thing.
That was a slap in the face.
Despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage.
Right. We have a question, actually, for Seth. Frank?
Yes.
What's up, buddy?
So, oh man, this guy, he's a supreme, super homo.
Are you talking about Seth Galifianakis?
Yeah, Seth.
I
just want him to admit it.
No,
I was what?
I think he's saying you're homosexual.
He's crazy.
He's what?
He's not gay.
No, I'm not gay. No.
He's from North. Let me explain something. You're from San Diego, Frank. He's from North Carolina.
I spent 3 years in North Carolina, and they would string him up if he says he was gay. That's why he doesn't want to admit it.
Well, he coaches high school. That's a pretty straight profession.
He shapes boys into men.
Yeah.
Right. So how many crushes do you have on those little boys over there?
Ha ha. Some joke.
Come on, who's your crush? Who's the one that you really favor?
I refuse. I do not. This is.
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry. Hey, Frank, listen. Frank.
You can come out right now.
Frank, first off, if he was gay, whose business is it? You know what I mean? It's not a crime to be gay.
I just wanted him to say it. It's not a crime, but they're going to string him up when he gets back.
No, he's married. You're married, right?
Yeah, I'm married. I've lived there for years. Excuse me, I'm trying to talk.
Let him finish, please, Frank. He's a married man. He's a Christian man.
Yeah, Frank, I'm sure that you're nice and everything, but I've never kissed a guy. I've never even thought about it. I love George Bush. I'm one of those. I'm a straight American.
Here's your chance. You can come out right now.
All right. I'm sorry for that, Seth.
You're a married man. I don't mean to get into intimate details, but you have an active life between the sheets with the missus?
Physically.
I'm not going to discuss this. I didn't come on the air. I came on to talk football. If you guys are going to talk about who's straight and who's gay, and I mean, I'd like Frank to, you know about an eye formation in football. I bet he doesn't know nothing about it.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Frank?
Okay.
So have fun in San Diego or wherever it is you're calling from.
All right.
I'm sure you're nice.
Seth, I'm sorry for that attack.
Okay.
I had a question about football. Okay, we digress. We need to pick out who the best was from our four contestants, although we've not heard them all yet.
Yeah, why?
Oh,
we
so
wait?
We cannot yet, Braska.
I'd like to get Zach's thought on it because he's musically inclined. Just at least
Zach is so far out of it right now.
I really have not been paying attention to the show.
Yeah. He thinks he's doing Mark and Brian.
We'll
move on with the news and Rachel Perry.
Well, of course, the big story today, the West Virginia coal miners. Last night, all the families heard that all but one were alive. And, of course, a few hours later found out that only one was alive. Of course, this is what one of the family members had to say about what they had originally heard.
They claim that some of the mine officials officials were on their way over. They tell us an hour that our loved ones would be out of that mine and on their way over here so we could see them before they took them to the hospital.
The one miner, Randall McCloy Jr., who is still alive, is in the hospital in critical condition. In other news, Lindsay Lohan admitted to the hospital yesterday for an asthma attack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was partying.
Does everyone... I grew up, there was one kid that had asthma. Now every other goddamn kid has asthma. Everyone's allergic to peanuts. Everyone has allergies, environmental allergies. Are we just turning into a big pack of pussies? What's going on?
Better diagnostic technology.
No, I say it's in the cabeza, not the lungs. Everybody I know who has a child, the kid's allergic to peanuts. He's allergic to penicillin. She's allergic to house paint, to carpet. What's going on?
We need to expose today's young people to taskmasters like Seth
Galifianakis.
Right.
Yeah, when he has you doing two a days out in the North Carolina sun or some bag laps, you'll not be worried about those allergies.
I'm allergic to a lot of stuff, though. I'll tell you, everything. Wheat. I'm allergic to Claritin.
Oh, really? Wheat and Claritin. Wow.
For the record, Lohan was, as a child, diagnosed with bronchial asthma.
All right.
As a child. This is one for you, Adam.
Chess looks good to me, by the way, but go ahead.
I remember yesterday you were talking about people, like, firing guns
into the air
and what happens because the bullets come down.
Yes, they celebrate every year on the new year by firing guns and rifles into the air, like we're like in the old West or in Mexico perhaps. And then the bullets, gravity being what it is, brings the bullet down about as fast as it went up, and it puts a hole in the top of someone's head.
Yeah, yes. Well, let me tell you, Ruby Cintron, one of those victims, was watching a fireworks display on New Year's Eve in Florida, in Central Florida.
Oh, what a shock that it was in Florida.
She was hit near the eye with a .45 caliber bullet and destroyed her eye, but she may have to live with said bullet lodged in skull for the rest of her life.
Wow.
Because in order to take the bullet out, I think they have to remove the eye, so it's better to have a non-working eye, I think, than... no eye and no bullet.
And it always gives you a good excuse. Like, you only get 850 on your SATs. I got a bullet in my head. You know what I mean? You don't pass a test or you don't do so well on a placement test. Whatever it is, I wish I had a bullet in my head. I would fall back on it all the time. I got pulled over. Cop wanted to know if I knew how fast I was going. I was like, I don't know. I have a bullet in my head. Bullet in my head for everything. Premature orgasm, bullet in the head. I would blame it on everything.
Instead of a driver's license, you carry around your X-ray?
I carry X-ray. Yeah. Bullet in the head. I'm going to need to cut in line here.
Hey, I got to step in. That's really the news. Thank you, Rachel. I got to step in because Kenny Mayne, our first phone guest, is going to accompany Dave's sports report. I just wanted to get that
out. Kenny Mayne is on the air.
Yeah.
Or am I going to put him on the air?
Put him on the air.
Oh, that's
good. But he's a professional.
Yeah, he's
a
pro.
He's going to premiering tonight. He's a sports reporter for ESPN.
Yes.
Premiering tonight, he's actually going to also be on Dancing with the Stars at 8 p.m. on ABC.
Yeah, let me see if I have him up. Kenny?
Except that's tomorrow night.
It's tomorrow night. I'm sorry.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow.
Brusk, after the
radio, what are we doing?
Brusk, after the show, fire yourself. Kenny, because eventually, if Brusk is in charge of firing people, he will eventually have to fire himself. It'll be an interesting ceremony.
Let me reread that then. Dancing with the Stars premieres tomorrow night, Kenny, at 8 p.m. on ABC, and I'm sure you did very well in Dancing with the Stars.
Kenny, we haven't done it. It's live.
Really? Fire yourself again, Brusca.
Wow.
Oh, I'm dead, yeah. No, it is. Yeah, they shove you out there. After, you have to be there at 8 in the morning. I think they just beat you down. It's some guys from the BBC, and they just keep saying brilliant all the time. And then we go out there live, and the next day you come back, and one of us gets thrown off, and you go back to your life.
It is amazing. Kenny, this is Adam. I always wanted to do
Adam,
that.
I've met you before.
Thank you. You would assume when you watch that show, well, the athletes, the Evander Holyfields of the world, are going to have a leg up, pardon the pun, on the competition because these guys are athletes. They're rhythm, skipping rope, moving around the ring. No, doesn't seem to be a help at all. Did you find that was, there's been no dancing thus far? You've seen nobody dance, Kenny?
I've only seen a brief clip. I assume the same thing with Jerry Rice, and that was.
Ah, yes.
In the end, because when I got called for it, first of all, I thought, like, well, they'd get me out of the phone book. You know, Danny Bonaducci said no. I mean, how the hell did I get picked? But
he's our guest tomorrow. But, yeah, keep going.
He's good. No, he's one of the best. And that's probably why I got in. He was busy with your show.
What dance did you choose, or do you get to choose a dance for yourself?
Nothing. I just do what the girl says. Cha-Cha is the first one. They got me in some puffy shirt from the Seinfeld episode, high-waisted pants.
Well, you sound delighted to be there, Kenny.
Yeah, I didn't even like dancing as a youth or even now. I danced to, like, Love Shack at a wedding, maybe, and Stevie Wonder, but it's been just, you know, throw me into the fire from, like, here's the routine. There's no basics.
Right.
It's not like, hey, we're going to learn how to drop back to throw a ball. It's just, you know, start the most complicated play ever.
Well, the important part is you're having fun. And speaking of fun, Dave Damashek's sportscast is on the way, and we'd like you to chime in and hang in with it.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
A grand intro for the granddaddy of them all to be played tonight. Rose Bowl, Pasadena, USC, Texas, number one on the line. Should be very exciting. Sandra Day O'Connor, of course, football legend, will be flipping the coin.
Who else would it be?
Correct. And but before we get to that quickly, let me make mention of this fact, that this has been a miserable week to be an NFL coach. Norv Turner yesterday, fired by the Raiders, the sixth coach now to be fired. Going along with that before maintaining his dignity, Chiefs coach Dick Vermeil, not allowing himself to be fired, stepped down and he announced this on Sunday through many tears, fought back the tears, but now he's on some sort of victory tour, going around crying into microphones all around. Here he is just yesterday.
It's the right time for me to go. It's the right time for me to leave. The Chiefs, they don't need a year-in guy every year saying, is he going to be here? You know, it's just not fair. And
seemed like he could have done a little more crying there.
Yeah.
Seems somber, but not all out waterworks.
Well, the point is, wherever there's a microphone, there
he'll be
Dick
rusting it with his tears.
His tears are flowing into it. Yes.
If he ever got on Firestone, he'd really cry.
Yeah. Firestone will bring out the tears.
Tears. Good point.
Now,
if I could see you, this would be easier.
It would be. It'd be less pleasant for you, but it'd be
Kenny,
easier.
Kenny, you already fired me. What do you think of Dave Damashek's sports so far?
The Open's the best Open I've ever heard. It's, you know, you're number one.
What else can you say?
And he's proven it so far.
Were you going to talk about the Rose Bowl at all, or just the...
He didn't think that was a big enough story.
Let's talk about it now.
Yeah, because Kenny's actually going to the Rose Bowl today.
Ooh la la.
I'm only going there to troll for high celebrity talent because we're trying to shoot a really easy story so that if by some miracle I make it past the first round of the dancing show, I won't have to work as hard next week to turn in my football story.
Oh, well, I'll be there.
Rachel
you can
Perry.
Talk to me.
The beautiful Rachel Perry will be there.
Well, let's meet you at the steps. Gate B. I'll be there.
How will I recognize you?
He's the tall, distinguished man.
Okay.
In plaid.
Got it.
Who's the pick for tonight, Kenny?
I think the score's going to be 12-7. It's crazy score.
Wow. Low score.
Yeah, they're all going to freak out. And I mean, I know that, you know, that USC gave up more points than they wanted to a few times. But I love Carroll. We got to work with him during our NFL season because we pretended Warren Moon was coming back after having butterfinger removal surgery by Dr. James Andrews at Birmingham, Alabama. So they let us go out to the USC field. He's handing the ball off to Reggie Bush. And Carroll's just like, for the hardcore guys, they thought he was too new age or something. You know, he's too freaky. But
yeah.
He has fun and they're disciplined.
He's not a disciplinarian like Seth Galifianakis is on the gridiron.
It works for some people. It's some, you know.
Yeah, it's a different style.
You've got to find your formula.
You're not saying it's wrong. It's just different than what you would do. All right. Kenny.
Hit me.
Yes. Yeah. Kenny Mayne, everyone, thanks for calling in. You can see him on
tomorrow night. Tomorrow
Dancing
night.
Dancing with the Stars.
Kenny, thanks for firing me. Tomorrow night, Dancing with the Stars, 8 p.m. on ABC. Also, of course, he's on ESPN. He's a terrific sports reporter, and thanks for being our first phone guest, Kenny.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dances you've never danced before.
Yes. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. Maybe a little wrap up with the sports from Dave Damashek when we come back? Yes?
If you'd wish.
All right, after this. Hey, everybody. Adam Carolla here for Barracuda Networks, Barracuda Spam Firewall. I'm not a computer guy, but I'm a car guy. And a car has a firewall as well, in between you and the engine. And that's what the Barracuda Firewall does. It gets in between you and the stuff you don't want. It's a firewall. Yes, you have the spam coming at you. You have the... what else comes at you on the computer, Dave Damashek?
Pop-up ads.
Pop-up ads. Zap.
Barracuda eats them up.
Eviscerated. Gone. How's that sound go? That's right. You want to hear that sound for yourself? You just dial 1-888-ANTI-SPAM. 1-888-ANTI-SPAM. And you get rid of that... What is that? You get rid of spam. You get rid of the pop-up ads.
Destroy.
Yep. Or, if you have a computer, you can log on to BarracudaNetworks.com. And I'm assuming you do.
I do, yes.
Yes.
I live in the 21st century.
What American doesn't? Yeah. 1-888-ANTI-SPAM, Barracuda. That's your firewall.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
That's true. I'm Adam Carolla. Zach Galifianakis, very funny gentleman. Zach Galifianakis has joined us in studio, a little hungover from a rave he was at, I was going to say last night, but well into this morning.
Four raves in a row now.
Four
raves in a row.
Consecutively.
Yeah.
Over the course of 4 days, or?
Yeah, four straight days. Well, that was my resolution, is to
have
one every night.
Every night of the year?
Yeah, I got one tonight.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, and you X?
Every night.
Every night?
Yeah.
Wow.
Such a divergent path from his twin brother, Seth. He's off molding young minds.
Chose to go a different route in life. He's a high school coach out of North Carolina. He's married. He's a family man. He's a God-fearing man. And he loves kids.
But it's nice. His twin brother's still thick as thieves. Correct?
Yeah.
Yes?
It depends on who you ask. I like him. I don't think he's crazy about me.
I see.
Lifestyle.
You feel he may be a little bit jealous about your success in Hollywood?
Oh, can I answer that?
Go ahead, Sam.
I don't... I don't understand Zach. I don't get his jokes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's my brother and stuff, but I just, we're not, we don't understand each other.
I think you speak for most Americans when you say that, Seth. I think Zach's a funny guy myself.
Thanks, Zach.
Sure. I think he's the comedian's comedian. Oh, the comedian's comedian. Comedian. As I've said before. We have a quick question for Seth before we move on. Steve?
Hello?
Yeah. Do you have a question for Seth?
Yes, I do. I've just got a position as offensive coordinator on a high school football team.
Mm-hmm.
How do you utilize the West Coast offense in high school? Yeah, especially for your football guy there.
Okay.
It's tough. I'll tell you that, Steve. It's really tough. But I'll tell you the advantage of it is that a lot of high school teams don't know how to defend against it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can master it, mm-hmm. it takes a lot of time. I mean, I worked on it for about 13 years. Just started utilizing it this past year, and it's starting to pay off. We won 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
We lost 7, but mm-hmm. We're climbing back.
Mm-hmm. So you think the Flaming Arrows are going to be in pretty good shape next year?
Next year, I think it's going to be I think we're going to get up to 5 games.
Would it be fair to say that the reason that you're starting to have success is that you're willing to put in the overtime with the boys to make sure they...
That's right. That's exactly right. Put a lot of overtime with the boys, get behind them, pump them.
You got to get behind and push.
That's right.
You really do. You really do. You got to ride those kids. You really do. That's
you
got
to go. If you're going to do it, go all the way.
Or you get hurt.
Right.
You get behind them, you pump them,
and guys, use
ride
protection.
Them.
Yep. Make sure that you use protection. A lot of people aren't padding up these days the way they should.
Oh, I see. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Flak jackets and whatnot. Well, as promised, we had a little abridged version of Dave Damashek's sports yesterday. I should say last break with Kenny Mayne. Now he's going to continue his sports.
Nobody does.
Is that his new theme?
I think we get it, Dave.
Yes.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Well, we've been talking a lot this morning about USC and Texas and the Rose Bowl tonight. But win or lose for SC, it's already been a historic day. That's because one of their great alumni, Lynn Swann. I believe you know him. Went on to
played his pro ball in Buffalo, did he not?
No, he didn't. He played his
Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. Thank you, Seth, football expert. Yeah. Thank you for being
surprised
here.
Surprised you knew that, Dave.
And, of course, a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Mm.
Today is expected to announce his candidacy for the governor of Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Well, he has one vote seated in this chair.
That's right.
Speaking currently. And in the NBA last night, the governor's favorite team, the Sacramento Kings, dropped one at Philly. Golden State lost, and the Kobe-less Lakers lost their 5th in a row at Utah. But Kobe will be back for their next game. He was suspended, of course, for 2 games for throwing an elbow into the Adam's apple of an opponent.
You know, it's got to be rough if you're a Lakers fan, them losing 5 in a row. But if you're Kobe, you have to be delighted.
Yes, right. Proves your worth.
Yeah. I would like any place I leave, I would like immediately just to go on a losing streak.
Yes.
I don't care if it's a relationship, I break up with someone, I immediately want her to fall in hard times. Even if it's just leaving a city, I'd like it to burst into flames.
Well, that's exactly, you know, they always say, you always, it's a similar thought, is you hear guys often say, we're going to play this game because the person who just died would have wanted us to. He would have wanted us to go on with the show.
Yes.
I say this now, in case I should pass between now and tomorrow. I would like the show to stop, and in fact, I would like the nation to do nothing really for a few days if they could. Maybe that's too far, the nation, but let's just say that those who know me, I don't want you to do anything. I don't want you to go on.
I don't want you to
try to be happy and have laughs and play games.
We should ball like Dick Vermeil.
Get together and weep with one another that the world is now a darker place.
All right.
For my absence.
Well, if you're not back tomorrow, we'll weep. But on Friday, Seth Galifianakis will be sitting
in
that
place.
Chair.
Fair enough. Speaking of weeping, I was remiss. I made a mistake. I played the wrong Dick Vermeil clip earlier. I want you to hear a little more of the waterworks from the former coach of the Chiefs who stepped down a couple of days ago.
my coaches. I see those guys. They know how I feel. You know why they know how I feel? Because I tell them I love them. You know, why feel something about somebody and not express it? What good does it do?
We were laughing. We're laughing yesterday that it would be devastating to Dick's family if he didn't cry during their momentous occasions. You want to demonstrate?
Hey, Dad, I have terrific news.
Ah, my youngest daughter. Yes, yes.
Tommy and I are pregnant. We're having a baby.
Oh, hey, good for you.
Did you hear what I said, Dad?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pregnant. You're going to be a grandfather.
I got ears. I'm the former coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. I can hear. That's fantastic. I said I was happy for you guys.
Now, I just thought.
What?
I mean, it's going to be a baby. It's a gift from above.
Hey, good for you. Listen, people have kids every day. Mazel tov. Now,
you don't talk that way about your
honey, once for lunch. What's for lunch?
Hey,
yeah.
Hey,
it'd
hey.
Be funny for me. I'll never cry at home.
Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
I just found out that I'm dying.
Wow. That's rough, but, you know, life goes on for the rest of us. honey, how's that casserole coming? How's it going? It's okay?
Be ready in 10 minutes.
Okay.
10 minutes.
Well, listen, the little one will be raised without an uncle. You know, what are you going to do? What are you? You had your 19 years on the planet. It's more than some. Anyway, I got to get to a press conference. I got to bawl my eyes out and hug a 75-year-old man.
Yeah. Now, Seth, have you ever wept in front of your team? Do you tell your players that emotion is all right to show?
Wow. Just thinking about it.
When you were playing that clip, when you was playing that clip, I was... never mind.
Oh, okay. So, I let me tell you about coaching. I believe it's a fraternity that we wouldn't know anything about. And when one member, and they're all brothers, yeah. They're all brothers. And no matter what level, whether at the high school level or the professional level, it is one fraternity, your brothers. And when one feels pain, I believe the other feels pain. Am I right, Seth?
I know that you joke around a lot and stuff, and I hope this time that you're not.
No.
Dick is really great.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, Vermeil's an awesome, awesome coach. Awesome coach. All right, well, you heard him. He loves kids. He loves Dick. He loves high school football. Seth Galifianakis in studio. Zach, twin brother, in studio as well. Again, he doesn't know football, and he's a little bit under the weather from the 4-day straight of the rave scene. And it being so early in the morning, he's acting pretty good now. Dave Damashek, wonderful job. On sports,
oh,
by the way.
You.
Getting
thank
better every moment. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, the show for people who like to listen to other people talk about the crazy drama in their lives.
Oh, God.
Middays on 97.1
yes,
Free FM.
You are, and yes, I am. Zach Galifianakis has joined us today. He's a great, great stand-up comic. His twin brother Seth, is a great coach, coaches the high school level in North Carolina. Welcome. Glad you both were able to hang in with us.
Thank you.
Dave Damashek here, Rachel Perry, of course. A little more time to go. Speak to Tyler. Tyler? Tyler dropped off the second I punched the phone in. But that's all right, because Tyler's comment was, are you going to play Germany or Florida? Those of you who remember me from doing a little show called Loveline. Remember, I used to play Germany or Florida. Now, how does the game go? All bizarre stories I learned from working as a writer over at Kimmel for many years emanate from either Germany or Florida. Now, I'm not just talking about, somebody backed over their dog or shot their wife. That's pedestrian stuff. I'm talking about the occult and the macabre. The bazaar, where the guy puts an ad in the paper, cuts someone's toes off, and eats them. That kind of stuff. That emanates from one of two places, either Germany or Florida. The way the game is played is the beautiful Rachel Perry reads the story, and then we have to guess, is it Germany or Florida?
Germany.
A Florida.
That sucked.
Are you ready?
Yes, yes. Seth, Zach, will you play along with this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, you're both ready. Here we go.
Police responded to complaints of a naked man screaming and claiming to be Satan in a residential neighborhood. When they arrived, Satan threatened and then lunged at one of the police.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Germany or Florida? And why is it, by the way, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're perfectly sane. But if you think you're Satan, you're nuts.
You should see the picture, too. I think he may actually be Satan.
Hmm. Is this Germany? Is this Germany or Florida? Damashek, any thoughts?
I feel very strongly, for some reason, I can't put my finger on it. I feel very strongly that it's Florida.
You do?
Yes.
It's just a woman's intuition?
I can't point at anything, yes, but it is...
okay, so you're saying Florida. Lady, just... Florida on this one.
Yes.
Zach?
I'm going to have to say, I'm going to agree, Florida.
You're going Florida, too?
Mm-hmm.
Seth?
Are we allowed to ask questions about the story?
Well, I think just the information Rachel gave you is about all we get.
We can't ask what the name of the town is.
Well, not unless there's a town by the same name in Germany and in Florida. Otherwise, I don't think it would be fair. It would give away
too much. I've never been to Germany, and mm-hmm. it sounds like... But I've heard crazy things about Europe, so I'm going to say Germany.
Germany. So, again, Zach?
I said Florida.
Oh, you said Florida.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. You guys look so much alike. I mean, other than the beards, really couldn't tell. And by that, I mean Seth's wife. Yeah, other than the beards, it's really, you couldn't tell you two apart. And, all right, so, Zach, one more time.
I say Florida.
Florida. And I'm just going to put a Z there. And then Seth?
I said Germany. I think I said, I forgot. I said Germany.
You said Germany.
Yeah.
Okay, and the reason being again?
Just because it doesn't sound like something that goes on. It sounds it sounds more like a European crazy stuff.
Right, right. And Zach, any reasons why you went Florida?
No, just a gut reaction.
Gut reaction?
Yep.
So you're going on instinct?
Yeah. I got a feeling that I'm not going to lose, though, either way.
All right. And I hope there's no... I know you two are sort of bunking up for the week, at least until the bowl game is over tonight before Seth heads back to North Carolina. I hope there's not going to be any bad blood between the two brothers having to go back to the Zach's one-bedroom.
No, it's just that I have to drive him all the way to Pasadena from Venice Beach and then wait...
Oh, you don't have a ticket for the game?
I'm not going. He's going.
So you actually have to wait for him?
He wants me to wait for the whole game.
Well, I mean, it's at least a four-hour game.
I know. That's what I was trying to explain to him, and he's like, well, Zach, it's something that I try to get in the game.
Right, right.
So you're going to get a ticket for your brother?
No, he can listen to it on the radio or something.
Okay.
In the car.
Yeah,
he's got a cool Subaru Outback.
Okay. All right. All right, so he can listen to it in the car.
But what if and you're also, Seth, you're also sleeping in Zach's bed and forcing Zach to sleep on the floor. What is Zach getting out of this deal?
We don't get to see each other that much. And, you know, when he bought my plane ticket out here, he was, this is what we agreed on.
Okay,
getting reacquainted,
let's not digress too much. Seth, again, has gone German. Zach has gone Florida. Dave Damashek, Florida. I'm going to go Florida myself. So we have a little drum roll here. Rachel, is it Germany or Florida?
It's Florida.
Florida.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. So, Seth, you're the only one who missed it. Sorry.
Yep. Well, I've never played the game before.
No,
so
I mean, you're not a comedian. You're not a prognosticator. You're a molder of youth.
Right. And I don't know much about geometry, so I don't know, where places are.
Geography, I think.
Okay.
Okay. Zach Galifianakis, I want to give a plug to. He's going to be at the Improv this Thursday night.
Yep.
Go catch him. He'll be also out on the golf course of the Rose Bowl, sitting in a green 99 Outback.
It's 98.
98
and it is green.
Subaru Outback, waiting for his brother Seth to leave the stadium. Dave Damashek, Rachel Perry, as always, great job. Kathy Griffin, dear, 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 dear friend Kathy Griffin. Hopefully she'll bring her lesbian twin sister in.
Is that the one that looks like Carrot Top?
Yes, but she's funny. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying... Mahala.